Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Stella Blue Coffee is more than just great coffee. It's coffee with a purpose. Introducing We Brew to Rescue, a nationwide campaign using proceeds from our new ready-to-drink cans to help fund 1,000 pet adoptions this year. Every can you crack open helps a real pet find a real home. Simple as that. Made with 100% Colombian coffee, each 11-ounce can delivers smooth, drinkable energy with a boost of protein. Available in espresso cafe mocha and espresso sweet cream. Built for mornings, long days, and everything in between. Drink Stella Blue, fuel your day, and help save a pet's life. You can follow our progress in real time throughout the campaign by watching the adoption tracker on our site. Grab yours now at StellaBlueCoffee.com. Amazon and select retailers nationwide.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age!
You want to come and join with you?
I'm gonna make you famous, Lizzie.
It's not Al anymore! It's Dunk!
Dunkachino?
Don't mind if I do!
Oh, the Joker, baby!
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool. I'm your host, Jeff D'Lo, and on this episode of Lights, Camera, Barstool, we're dipping into a bunch of movie news related to sci-fi movies. Dune 2 was delayed. The new Zack Snyder movie trailer is out. We're also reviewing Vacation Friends 2. That's right. They made a sequel to a movie that you may have forgotten even got made in the first place. And we have a draft. We are drafting our least favorite on-screen comic book movie characters with our co-host and co-worker at Barstool Sports, Rudy. First up, it's movie news time. But before we get into that, it is an ad from our friends at Omaha Steaks. That's right, Labor Day, right around the corner. And what do you do on Labor Day? You grill things up. That's right, folks. 50% off is in your vicinity, folks, on Omaha Steaks right now. During their Labor Day sale, go to omahasteaks.com, O-M-A-H-A, steaks.com, and enter Lights, L-I-G-H-T-S, in the search bar to shop all the exclusive Labor Day packages, like the Griller's Labor Day Feast, packages perfect for sampling of everything that makes Omaha Steaks unforgettable and great and a staple for years. Plus, when you type Lights in the search bar, you will get eight free mouthwatering burgers and 8 free jumbo Franks as well. All gourmet, all delicious. You're going to want to hurry, though. This exclusive offer is only available for a limited time. Make sure you're stocked up and ready to go for Labor Day. Not exactly the end of summer, but the beginning of the end of summer. So do it right with a 50% off site-wide sale for Omaha Steaks. Remember, the only way to get this amazing deal is head over to omahasteaks.com and enter code LIGHTS in the search bar to shop the Labor Day sale and get 8 Omaha Steaks burgers and 8 gourmet jumbo Franks free with select packages, including that special Griller's Labor Day Feast. Omaha Steaks isn't just steak. It's the best steak of your life. Guaranteed. It's omahasteaks.com. Keyword Lights in the search bar. All right. Time to talk some movie and TV news. Jeff D. Lowe. Ken Jack. What's going on? Gooch with a nice blue hat today.
Oh, explain the hat.
Oh, I got the, my friend gave me a Toon Squad hat, but it's the Space Jam 2.
Yeah, yes. You could tell. I could tell by the blue. It was like a new blue they used for it's like they invented their own blue for that Space Jam movie.
Yeah.
This is actually LeBron James designed this hat.
Looks fantastic. Let's get into it. Biggest movie news that's happening right now, hands down, the delays of movies, and a big domino fell. Dune Part 2 delayed until March 15th, 2024. Amid the ongoing strikes, which seem to have absolutely no end in sight. There was like a mild bit of positivity last week or 2 weeks ago that like talks were going to get started again. And then Bob Iger made some comments, and it doesn't seem like it's going to end anytime soon. And it seems as though studios are going to delay movies that they care about and are going to not delay ones they don't care about. It seems pretty fucking cut and dry, because there's some they're like, yeah, we're not moving that. That's just staying there. Like Aquaman, for example. Denis Villeneuve also said he wants to make Dune Messiah, said there are words on paper. If I succeeded in making a trilogy, that'd be the dream. But I guess on the maybe like the positive end of things, if you're a big Dune fan, Dune Part 2 may have a shot at like a big Oscar run now next year, because it seems like this is Oppenheimer and Killers of the Flower Moon potentially's year as we head into award season. Bummer. It's a bummer. that's really no two ways about it. And they just released a fucking magazine cover too. It's that like was... delay the magazine.
Yeah, that was weird.
They delayed it like the night before they knew that massive Empire spread was coming out, which is just insane.
A wild move. I don't know. It sucks because like Denny is like obviously like probably the best director of the 2010s, I would say, right? Like,
I mean,
at the very least, like hasn't missed. And so for him not to be able to get the movie and all of us obviously being super pumped up for it, it sucks. But also when I was like reading more into this, like I was just reading some more stuff about the strike and all that. The percentage that they're asking from the studios is staggeringly low.
It's like what, 0.014% or something?
They put out like a table of it. They were asking for the amount that they were asking for out of Disney's percentage of revenues. It would have been 0.088% of their revenue. That's what they're asking for. And Iger is like personally offended by that. That's what that was what the report before said the other day, right? He's like, Iger is personally offended by what they're asking for. It's like, dude, that is a percent of a fraction of a percentage. And you can't do that for them. It's fucking crazy. Just fix it, dude.
No, and it's also a massive bummer because we were coming off, I think, one of the biggest wins for movies between the Barbenheimer release was just a massive win publicly to get people back into theaters. And then you follow that up by having not only just a terrible slate in August, I think a lot of that
horrible fixed horrible slate in August.
Paramount not moving Mission Impossible into August is just still one of the baffling.
Dumbest things I've ever
seen. It would have made $1 billion if they had released in August because people would have gone back to the theaters and seen that.
Yeah, that movie was talked about. Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1 was talked about as in some spaces almost like a loss for them. And like they did lose money. Now that is it's a little different than The Flash because like The Flash, it was delayed, but like The Flash was just redone, rewritten, and reworked so many ways. Mission Impossible got delayed because of COVID, and that's a big reason it lost money. Like, it still made good money, but it definitely got fucked by the fact that it came out a week before the biggest movie event since Avengers Endgame, and one of the biggest movie events of all time with Barbie and Oppenheimer. So, that was pretty
good. Capitalized on that.
Yeah, my bigger point here is that, like, you have this massive win for cinema, and then you follow that up with a bad August slate, just a terrible August slate. And this strike, it's just the movie industry like doesn't want to do themselves any favors. I don't understand it. Like they want, it feels like some studios just want theaters to die. I don't know. And I think probably Netflix and Disney have a lot to do with that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Dune being, I mean, I don't really care about them winning Oscars. I really wanted that this year. And it sucks too, because the first Dune went through this hell too. And that's just like, can't get a win.
Well, I mean, another big thing with it, too, is that it played before Oppenheimer, the trailer did. If you saw it in IMAX, the movie is completely in IMAX, so it's a stunning trailer to watch. And I just saw Oppenheimer again the other day, and it was in 70mm IMAX, and the trailer plays, it's this huge thing, and it just says fucking November 3rd after it, and you're like, God damn it. And so it's a bummer. But to what's been said here is, I mean, I think we saw that back during COVID. I think these studios do want this shit on streaming. Like, I think they would like that. So there is a little bit to that as well. So
movies are they're just so much better in a theater. Mm-hmm. They really are. Like, we can't hammer that home enough. Like, I saw Boogie Nights last week with Owen in the theater, and I already like love Boogie Nights, but it was just that much better on the big screen. Like, it was, I don't want to say significantly better, but my score came up. I mean, a good 10 points.
Yeah. I mean, that one take, man. Ray Warner.
So that's Dune Part 2.
Jeff, Oppenheimer. We haven't addressed this yet. So I guess 2 years ago, you said that any movie with Josh Peck gets a 1 point bonus.
Yeah, somebody did. And that is true. That is true. Because I believe I gave Red Dawn, the remake of Red Dawn, I gave like a 2 out of 100. And I said it should have been a 1, but Josh Peck gets an automatic bump. So I guess Oppenheimer's on 101 now. That's how I'll respond. I had an insane theater experience. It didn't really ruin anything for me. It was just very funny. That we'll talk about at the end here. That was just an Impractical Jokers level human being sitting next to me during that screening of Oppenheimer. Though, I mean, that's the thing. It's like you talk about where the movie industry is, and it's a bummer that they're going to go fucking do this, is I saw Oppenheimer. Now, granted, it was one of the 17 theaters in the country. You could see it in 70mm IMAX. So it is – that's like the asterisk a bit, because it is a tough thing to get. But it was 10:30 on a Saturday morning, and there was not a single empty seat in the theater. And it's been out for a month. That's crazy. So from Dune 2, some sci-fi to some more sci-fi, some – I guess original sci-fi, which is really fucking cool when you think about it. It's Zack Snyder plucking from things he likes, and then he created his own thing. But it's not based on anything. Technically,
things he likes. Just say Star Wars.
No, it's that opens up with like a shot of like the fucking spaceship, and then the Dune chants. Basically,
yeah. But I mean, Star Wars is essentially Dune, so I guess we'll give him credit there. But anyway,
yes, stylistically, they differ, though, which is that is the thing where you got to make sure you change shit. Like Star Wars ripping from like,
oh, you mean like when there's lightsabers in this trailer?
Yeah, literal lightsabers.
I won't lie, though, those fucking lightsabers.
They look cool.
They look cool as hell.
Rebel Moon is what we're talking about. Part one. It's weird because it's.
That was fucking crazy. How did that not come out before that is a part one of
the marketing for this is going to be very interesting, because this was very, very, because I'm reading, actually, I have the Wikipedia up just to kind of look at like just little details. And it says here Rebel Moon and then parentheses marketed as Rebel Moon Part One, A Child of Fire. It's absolutely being marketed as just Rebel Moon. And it is a part one. It comes out in December on Netflix. This will be pretty cool. It's going to have a limited theater release. I'll definitely see it in theaters. The production value on this is unbelievable. But it's Zack Snyder. He created this story. Pretty big cast. Sophia Boutella, Charlie Hunnam, our boy Jaimin Hansu, Ray Fisher in it. Anthony Hopkins doing the narration in the trailer. He'll be in the movie as well.
He's never picked it a bummer in sci-fi genre.
Say it again.
Anthony Hopkins has never picked a bummer in the sci-fi genre before.
Oh, yeah. No, never happened.
What was the movie last year?
Oh, I don't even know what you were talking about. I was talking about Transformers The Last Knight was what I was talking about.
Corey Stoll with one of the worst fake beards I've ever seen in my life in the trailer. But that I'll excuse that. It looks crazy. Cost $166 million to make. He said it was inspired by the works of Akira Kurosawa, Star Wars, and heavy metal magazines, which seems like he just threw that in there to divert attention a little bit.
Yeah.
It's like Zack Snyder just flipping through
a heavy metal magazine. He's like, I gotta fucking make a movie about this.
I believe that 100%, though.
It was originally supposed to be it was developed as a Star Wars film that he had pitched to Lucasfilm after Disney bought them. That would have been kind of cool if he was able to do that, but I kind of like more that it's just separated from that. It looks big. It looks like Zack Snyder. It looks like a lot of slow-mo. I would be lying to you if I didn't say I was like really fucking excited for this. Like it is an awesome trailer, for Netflix, but really it is hitting theaters before that. So it hits that lane of like, is it a Netflix movie? Is it not? I guess probably say no, cause it hits theaters first. So I mean, yeah, Kendrick, dive into it, because there are a lot of things plucked from many franchises here.
Yeah, so like I think that with Snyder, I respect him knowing what his lane is, you know what I mean, and like rarely ever diverting from it at all. Like loud CGI action, CGI rarely looks good, even in this it's kind of shaky. A lot of slow mo, as much as the studio will physically allow you to do. That's his bag, and people love him for it. He has the most fanatical fans of any director on the planet. Like Scorsese doesn't have hitters like Zack Snyder does. It's crazy, but he. That's also kind of like the problem is like you watch this, like, wow, every single shot is slow-mo. Every single shot has some sort of lens flare on it. Every single shot has like a big CGI set piece that looks like crap. And like, that's whatever. But as long as the story's cool, I don't really care. But like, again, chorus from Dune. They got the breather suit from Dune. They got the lightsabers. They got the space messiah. Like, it feels really derivative of stuff that we've already seen, which is fine. Again, as long as you make a stylistically big enough difference from those other things, like, I don't care. Like, and again, that's something like what Star Wars does. Like, you ripped plot points like bit for bit from Kurosawa and like all stuff like that. But like, it just, you need to be a little bit more different, and it's not. And the cast is like, I don't know, like the first build person being like Sophia Boutella, who like, what's Sophia Boutella's best movie? Like Kingsman? Kingsman as a villain? Like, that doesn't henchman. Speak. Like, that's just, it's not one that really moves a ton on the needle for me. Like, I like Corey Stoll. Ed Skrein just has to play a villain in everything he's in. Jaimin looks like he's not going to be a big part. I like Charlie Hunnam, but not for something like this. Obviously, the last big like sort of role he had like this was King Arthur, Legend of the Sword. If you want to consider like that same sort of like fantasy-ish, sci-fi-ish element. None of it is really exciting. The teaser I thought was really cool, but then the full trailer, I'm like, this kind of, I don't know.
It's also it's one of the longest trailers I've ever seen in my life. That's like a 10-minute trailer.
It shows fucking so crazy. Much. I don't know. I want to be really excited for this because I do like something being like a potential franchise coming out that's not a Star Wars, that's not Star Trek, whatever. Sure, but not if it's going to be the same things, like the, just derivative of those things, but not as good. And that's fine. And Snyder fans, I'm sure, will leak my IP address the minute this posts. But I'm sorry, just how I feel. I want to be pleasantly surprised because I do. We've interviewed Snyder before. He's an awesome interviewer. He's really cool. I like all that stuff. This seems too centered in his lane that he's already too well familiar with.
Yeah, I mean, it's Snyder. You just have to see it like first. Yeah. Like that's the thing, and I respect the hell out of him for that. Like he has built a brand as a director, which seems impossible these days. Like how many younger directors, you know, that started in the 21st century can you really like name, like say like, oh yeah, I think my buddy would know who this is. Like it's a very small list, but Snyder's on that. It's because he does. I mean, he takes swings. It for the most part doesn't really work, but
it's not even like swings really.
But he is, it's to that idea that you don't say it often anymore, that who do we say that still this exists, where it's like this person makes blank movies, like Zack Snyder makes Zack Snyder movies. Like,
you're right.
There just aren't that many. And he's been around for, you know, the Dawn of the Dead was 20 years ago. So.
Oh, and he also said he's making the director's cut, too. We almost forgot to mention that.
That's what we get to next. That is, no, trust me. I was going to fucking say that. Why is there a director's cut? He had complete creative control on this.
Yeah, complete creative control. It's because he knows he can make money off it. He knows he can release it again and make money.
The funniest thing is, like, his director's cuts are better. Like, they are. Like, every single one of them is better than the theatrical cut. Like,
usually they are. They almost all director's cuts are better than studio cuts.
But, like, there is something too, like as a director, you need to be able to make your movie in the allotted runtime for the theatrical release. Like, that is something you need to be able to do.
It seems like part of it, though, is the rating, because it's like a PG-13 cut and then a rated R extended cut. So did they tell him he couldn't do rated R? I could I'll play devil's advocate. I could see that maybe being like, hey, if you're going to do it in theaters and Netflix, please make it PG-13. Like, I guess I could see that. But like, still, it's like this of all times to have a cut. This shouldn't be the time.
Yeah,
you have control.
Like, you have the ideal time, the little ideal scenario where you don't need an extended cut.
It feels like a marketing ploy more than anything for this. Like just to be able to say Snyder cut, like we have a Snyder cut coming. Like they just want that out there.
Like he's allergic to one cut. He just can't. He cannot do it.
I'm going to wait for the Ultimate Edition in 2025.
You said that the other day, by the way. You tweeted that. You said you like the Ultimate Edition of Batman v Superman.
It is quite a bit better.
Every cut he has, that the director's cut, is always better.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. I'm just looking at the wiki, by the way. He revealed that he already made a role-playing game based on Rebel Moon alongside an animated short and a graphic novel and a novelization. And, he has a plan on a TV series focusing around one of the characters. And is a 4-player co-op action game being made for the Netflix Games platform. Haven't seen anything from
this. Let's make one good movie first.
Make the movie. Fuck, man. It's like Amazon with anything they make that's successful. Yes. Like, dude, just focus on making the one thing good first before you spawn a whole fucking universe of something everyone might hate.
Yeah, that would be hilarious if this movie comes out and it just stinks. And they have like just $1 billion sunk into a franchise before it's even off the ground.
Fucking crazy.
Oh my god. I didn't include it in the rundown, but he said he wants to do a Gears of War movie. I never played Gears of War.
He'd be perfect for that.
But like, yeah, I've seen enough gameplay in that trailer that's awesome. The Mad World trailer. He's perfect for that.
People have talked about doing that for forever. I know that Dave Bautista has wanted to play always, like for years. He's even, I think, a playable character in whatever the last Gears was. It's a series that would be really cool because the lore of Gears of War is sick, and Zack Snyder would be perfect for that. So if he wants to do that, I'm all ears.
So that's the Rebel Moon trailer. Pretty big trailer drop. Comes out in December, and the second part comes out in April.
Which is 4 months after the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's very weird. Is the second one get a theatrical release too? Like,
I'll tell you what, if that first one stinks, that's gonna be real awkward. Yep. That's gonna be real fucking awkward. It's like, what do you do there? There's a lot of faith being put into that.
At Boar's Head, we've been going back to school for over 115 years. And this year, every school lunch is reason to celebrate with the flavors your kids love and the exceptional quality you expect. Helping you make school lunch fresh, easy, and delicious. Ring the bell. The deli is open. Boar's Head, committed to craft since 1905.
The next movie is with Saoirse Ronan and Paul Mescal. Is it pronounced foe or is it F-O-E? What's the proper way to say this movie's name?
I think because it's all caps.
It's all caps. It's either foe or F-O-E. Comes out in theaters October 6th. Written and directed by Garth Davis, who did the movie Lion, I believe. Hen and Junior farm a secluded piece of land that has been in Junior's family for generations, but their quiet life is thrown into turmoil when an uninvited stranger shows up at their door with a startling proposition. That doesn't really say too much, but I'll tell you this. Saoirse Ronan, except for Lady Bird, I feel like is never in a movie set before like 2000. And even that movie was set in like 2001, I think, right?
Yeah.
So when I saw that this – so it opens up. It's in the like a farmland. I'm like, oh, this is going to be like a in the 80s or 70s or something. It's in like 2036 or 2063 years. It's in the distant future, and it's about space. There's a space involved. It seems to be mostly set on Earth in that kind of farmland setting. But new movie coming out with Saoirse Ronan and Paul Mescal, obviously very, very hyped right now. He's in everything. He's being cast for everything. He's fan cast for everything. And Saoirse Ronan, pretty picky with her stuff. She's not in much, but when she's in things, it's usually very good. Very very good agent, Saoirse Ronan. There's someone with a terrible agent who actually had a teaser poster released. We're recording this on Monday, August 28th. Michael Fassbender's in the new David Fincher movie. He has a horrible agent, apparently, because he's just not been in anything good, though. Hopefully that movie is good. No trailer for that yet. But what do you think about this trailer?
I think the stylization for the caps thing is just for the poster, because on the wiki and everything else, it's just lowercase foe.
Okay, so foe. Okay.
Yeah. Trailer. It's one of those things where you just mix those two people together in like a smaller production, and I'm just going to be like, yes, no matter what, no matter the concept was, Saoirse Ronan and Paul Mescal. Paul Mescal to a much lesser extent because we don't have as much like exposure to him, but like Saoirse Ronan, like you're saying, crushes everything she's ever been involved in. And just like reading through the wiki, they already have a graphic novelization in play. They have a video game, four-player RPG. but I'm excited for this. I mean, anything, again, you throw these two super successful actors in anything, I'm going to go watch it opening day.
Big shout out to all the Black Mirror fans that were in our comment section immediately. This is just like Black Mirror. This is just based on a book that came out like 5 years before Black Mirror. But okay.
Yeah, the book did come out in 2018.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm all for it. I love these two actors. I like Lion too. That's the movie with what's his face?
It's a movie about your wife,
Dev Patel, isn't it? Is that Lion? Anyways,
you got it right.
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah, these two, Paul Mescal. Outside my window just made a lot of noise, so I went on mute.
Yeah, no, I didn't hear it. Is Paul Mescal going to be overexposed at some point here in the
very possible? Very possible.
I like him a lot, but he is taking on quite a few projects all at once.
He's like, hitting like Chalamet territory, but I don't know if he's as talented as Chalamet. You know what I mean? Like Timothy's like wrote it well, but like I don't know how Mescal will. We'll see.
I did you guys watch Normal People?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
He was great in that too, but that's like I've seen him in that and then After Sun. And
After Sun is like the most that's all I got for him, really.
So he's building quite a career off two very high exposed roles. So I'm interested to see how like the public reacts to him being in front of their faces for the next 2 to 3 years nonstop. Apparently he didn't even apparently he didn't audition for Gladiator 2. They just gave him.
That's I trust Ridley. You want to talk about that another is, guy that has
that's great the definition record of hype. Like that is being hyped up when you can just fucking get a role. I do. Yeah, you're right. I do trust Ridley Scott.
I'm not even sure if fucking Eddie Munster had an audition though. He just saw Stranger Things and he's like, you're fucking yeah, you're playing the bad guy.
Eddie Munster, hellfire.
They didn't know in the trailer that it's from visionary director Garth Davis. By the way,
who
visionary is?
You can't throw that on.
Lion was good.
Yes. Right. Garth.
Yeah, but you can't be. You can't just throw. Yeah, you could say about a different Garth for sure, but you can't just throw visionary on anybody these days, especially a guy with three movies.
Yeah, Lion was a good movie. Then he came out with the Mary Magdalene movie, which was not very good with Rooney Mara and Joaquin Phoenix playing Jesus. So that's just, that's an interesting, you know, what qualifies as being a visionary director?
He can see. He has 20/20 vision. And you're a visionary director.
They're literally talking about his eyesight.
He doesn't wear contacts or glasses. He's the fucking incredible director.
Perfect eyesight. This guy's a visionary like you would not believe.
So that's a trailer for, we're going to call it Foe. We're saying Foe. So a lot of sci-fi. This is three sci-fi stories off the top. I will say, while we, you know, made fun of Rebel Moon a little bit, delayed for Dune, it is like, I like that these are sci-fi things. I love the creator trailer every time I see it. The Gareth Edwards movie that's
very
coming out.
Very excited for that.
Good little time for sci-fi. This is nice. I love it. Much different speed. And I don't even think you guys watch this show, but I can't not talk about how much the morning show costs. And the
I can't believe it's still on. I thought it ended.
So the new season of the morning show got its third season trailer, or season three trailer. This show is unbelievably expensive to make. The two of the highest paid acting jobs in the history of television and streaming, Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon, millions to play these roles. There's some of the show has been good. Billy Crudup, I love in the role. Now they add John Hamm for season three. He seems to just be basically the premise of the new season of this show is that they have a cyber attack at the news network and things get leaked. And there's no more Steve Carell's character. Spoiler alert. Pause. Big time dead, dies in the second season, drives off a cliff. Remember, he gets fired for sexual harassment, being a sexual predator. And then he has a bit of a redemption arc in season two. And then he drives off a cliff in Italy and dies. Very strange. Also, the second season was really hit by COVID, and they changed things around and made it basically a COVID story. So John Hamm seems to just be, if you watch Succession, what's his face's character? Mattson.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
He's just Mattson from Succession, basically. He's like this golden parachute for them to save themselves from this impending doom and disaster. This show costs so much money, and Apple TV makes such – like, they do make really good shows. Like, they've had a good run of some solid stuff. But a couple of their shows that they first ever launched with, they just couldn't stop and get rid of. Like, speaking of Ridley Scott, C cost so much money. The show with Jason Momoa, this show costs an insane amount of money. They always get nominated. It always feels like they almost, like, pay for the nominations, yes, the Golden Globes. I don't know why they're still hanging on to shit like this.
I think they don't even give a fuck. Honestly, Apple's so
good. They have enough cash to just buy Disney like right now.
Yes, exactly. They have cash to just buy. Like, they could buy Disney cash. Like, that's insane. I don't think they pay attention to the ledger book on Apple TV. Like, I think it's just a marketing cost for them where it's like, whatever, we just lose money. I don't give a fuck. Like, I mean, how much is an Apple TV subscription? It's still like $6.
Yeah. I mean, I get mine for free through T-Mobile.
It's just, it is crazy because, like, you talk about prices and you talk about how much Disney Plus costs, like, in terms of, like, for these Marvel shows. Then you look at some of these shows, like The Morning Show, a show about a news program, and they're spending millions on it. And I never liked C. Some people liked C. It was never really. And that was billed like their top thing. When they first launched Apple TV Plus, that was like their big thing to hang their hat on, that and The Morning Show.
Mainly sailors who watched it.
I never did. That was good. That was good. I never watched C, but I just recently started The Expanse for the first time. The Expanse rocks.
I've heard good things about that too.
I've never heard nothing but great things. And I'm like, it's a sci-fi show. I'll probably like it. And I just waited forever to start it. Expanse is awesome. Really like that show. Not to do too off topic from Apple.
Whenever people ask for show recommendations lately, I just tell them, I'm like, just get an Apple TV subscription. Find one show you like. I'll tell them to start with Severance, but just pick something to interest you and just start from there. Go through their catalog. Most of it's good. Like they are in the HBO sphere, which I don't think any other streamer has really attempted to go after HBO the way Apple TV has. Like, in terms of, we are going to make very high level, high production, like dramas, very serious stuff that maybe isn't for the general population, but the people who do watch are going to love it.
As we'll say, the big difference between those two is that HBO just has the library to back it up, and the library of Apple TV is like 20 things.
Yeah.
There's like 20 total options to choose from on Apple TV. It's so funny how quickly, when you're like just scrolling, you run out of options.
Yep.
Because they have like nothing in the library. It's just, but that's the big difference for HBO, which is what makes them better.
As I thought, like Blackbird, really good miniseries.
Yeah.
You talk about Silo, I think has been really solid. Hijack, people love. They do good stuff.
I don't know what it is about Hijack. It never connected to me.
I had a friend this weekend who was hyping up Hijack to me. And that, and I have another friend who loves Lee Pace show.
Oh, Foundation.
Yeah.
That first season is just, I've said it a million times, it's just so fucking dense, dude. But I've heard good things about the second season so far.
Which is funny.
So they've definitely found, funny enough, and obviously like Ted Lasso ended up being a big hit for them. But it's funny, like a lot of their original stuff never really took off. Like one of their first things was Dickinson, the period comedy, Emily Dickinson comedy with Haley Steinfeld. And that never really took off into anything.
Pretty good.
People seem to like it, right? But like it never that. Like some of these things like never really hit this like next level. Did you actually watch it?
Yeah. Haley Steinfeld? Yeah, I'm watching it.
Of course you watched it. You sure Dick in Son, you pervert. You fucking incest freak.
And lastly, I gotta tell a quick movie theater story. So I went and saw Oppenheimer in New York City at Lincoln Square, IMAX, best IMAX in the country, 70mm. It's awesome. It's just unbelievable to watch it like that. And also, I saw it a month ago, and you can see where some of the film, the grades and everything. Like you can, there's the differences, and it just looks so fucking good. paid more attention to the score than anything else this time, and the music in that movie is just fucking unbelievable. It's haunting. But I was next to somebody. This woman took her mother, I would assume, to the movies. And she sat down next to me, and she had what I thought was a little plastic cup of wine with a lid on it. And I was like, well, that's okay. Whatever. You know, Kendrick and I brought cereal into the movies before, like not that weird. All of a sudden I see her take off the lid, and she's individually dunking one piece of popcorn at a time. It was butter. It was a cup of butter, one at a time. And then about 30, 45 minutes into the movie, she spilled the entire cup of butter down the front of her shirt. I mean, just like just the whole thing. Shocking. Sat there for another 20 minutes, and then she got up and went to the bathroom. At least I assumed the bathroom. I actually had to go to the bathroom. She had been gone for like 10 minutes or so. I went to the bathroom, and I saw her in the snack lobby, because it's like separated the IMAX in New York.
Back to more butter.
She's asking the worker if she can leave and come back in. So can I leave? Like, will I be able to get back in? And they're like, sure. And actually at that same time, a guy had just showed up and showed his ticket. Like, dude, you're a third late to this movie. Re-rack. Go another. Like, try again. So I go to the bathroom, come back. She doesn't show up again for another 20 minutes. Not making much noise, not saying much. Pulls out her phone, full brightness, deletes emails for the next 20 minutes on her phone. Wasn't even that distracting because I just didn't care. And it was like a brighter part of the movie anyway, but she's just deleting emails one by one. At one point, I could very clearly tell she opened up her YouTube app, and I'm like, there's no way she's about to start playing fucking YouTube videos here. But she just closed it. After that, all of a sudden, I figured out why she left the theater. I see a brown bag being pulled out from the side of her, and she pulled out a massive chicken wrap, a huge wrap, and she just houses it, just absolutely devours it, gets up again for a good maybe 20 minutes, doesn't come back, finally comes back at the end of the movie for the last 45 minutes. The most engaged movie experience I've ever seen. She's pointing to the screen, asking, like, talking to her daughter about things. She reacted to the Kennedy thing like it was the greatest thing she'd ever seen. She's going nuts. Movie ends, first person to stand up and clap. And she claps, and she leans to her daughter. She goes, that was amazing. I'm like, you man, I go, you saw 15% of the movie. What are you talking about? I've never seen anything like it. It was like she had the Impractical Jokers in her ear. Like, you got to fuck with this guy. Just do random shit. The YouTube, the only time my heart sank was the YouTube thing. I go, no way, she's about to start playing YouTube videos in the theater. This would be unbelievable. That's what a move that would be.
It sounds like she was so like prepared to go to the movies, but at the same time, she also had never been to the movies before.
Yeah, I just could not. You know, individual dunking of one kernel at a time is pretty, that's commitment.
Mm-hmm. It honestly sounds fucking delicious. I'm not even going to lie. I love that butter. I could drink it, but... Yeah, I mean, it sounds like this is a system she has set up. Was the butter from home? Do we know?
I would assume, because it's the plastic cups, I don't know. Maybe they gave, because she bought the popcorn, so maybe AMC gave it to her. But I couldn't believe it. It was truly. I know some people say like that's why I don't go to the like whatever. It was a funny thing, and
that's a one.
She liked the 20% of the movie she actually paid. She was so engaged with that final act. She could when Einstein came back on screen at the end, she kind of like leaned forward in her chair. I was like, oh my god. Maybe she'd seen it already. Movie. Maybe it's her fourth viewing. She's wanted to go with her daughter. I don't know.
I just wish she went to go get more butter. If she was at the snack line getting more butter, that would have been awesome.
I know, just a whole tub. Yeah,
for more butter.
The AMC, when you buy the to-go bag, they give you like a squeeze bottle of it. I would love to see somebody just squeeze bottle butter all throughout the movie. I kind of had a feeling somebody would do it, and I thought I was being the asshole to do it. But when the Dune trailer aired, some guy a few rows back, it said November 3rd, he just goes, nope, really loud. He's like, right, that's a big movie guy right there.
Any chance you saw, did she open up Twitter at any point and start tweeting out racially insensitive things?
No.
Just making sure it wasn't our good friend Paula.
Yeah, very possible.
So yeah, that's movie news for the week. Before we get into a review of Vacation Friends 2, this episode of Lights, Camera, Barstool is brought to you by Game Time. That's right, the exclusive ticketing partner of Barstool Sports, created by fans for fans. I just used this for a big one. Going to see Messi in Los Angeles, taking on LAFC to see Lionel Messi is, I feel like, a no-brainer. And Game Time is a very easy way to score last minute deals on tickets to sporting events, concerts, show. Maybe you want to go see Taylor Swift. I don't know. Depending on wherever you are, it's possible with the Game Time app. The biggest last minute price drops can be found on seats you thought you could never buy. Saw Bruce Springsteen recently. Game Time is great. You can do anything and everything, and football is right around the corner. So why not have the Game Time app? And if you enter an email or go to the website and redeem code LCB, you get $20 off your first purchase. Process takes 2 taps, 10 seconds. Once you buy your tickets, they're delivered directly to your phone. No printer, nothing needed. No goofy, you know, around the block type nonsense to get your tickets. It goes straight to your phone. App also allows you to easily share tickets with your friends. They can get into the game before you if they arrive before you, or the concert. Skip the hassle. Enjoy the moment. Code LCB on Game Time for tickets now. The exclusive ticketing partner of Barstool Sports.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium, and everywhere else at 8 p.m.
All right, movie review time here on Lights, Camera, Barstool.
Unfortunately.
Maybe we liked it. Today we are reviewing Hulu's Vacation Friends 2. That's the sound of everyone turning off their screen and watching something else. Vacation Friends 2, the sequel to Vacation Friends 1, for those who don't remember. The first Vacation Friends was released in 2021, 2 years ago, on Hulu. Stars Lil Rel Howery, Yvonne Orji, John Cena. I said John Cena.
He's Portuguese. John Cena.
Meredith Hagner in the lead roles, and then Steve Buscemi in this movie in a new role. A couple years after the events of the previous movie, Marcus and Emily invite Ron and Kyla, played by John Cena and Meredith Hagner, to a 5-day vacation in the Caribbean, while Marcus secretly has a scheduled meeting with the Korean owners of the hotel. The arrival of an unexpected guest throws the whole trip into chaos. Yes, Lil Rel Howery's character Marcus is trying to convince the owners of the hotel to help them build this resort in Chicago. And despite the largest business transaction of his life, he somehow takes these friends of his that only cause chaos and disaster. Quite the premise. Also, Carlos Santos as Murillo, a character that everybody remembers from the first movie. Which I'll let Ken Jack go on that rant in a minute. But yeah, Vacation Friends 2. It's on Hulu. You can stream it now. I don't want to be... Look, no, there's nothing bias at play here. But... I'll tell you what, I absolutely loved this movie. This movie is
fuck delightful. You.
100 out of 100.
what the fuck is that? Sent you the Vacation Friends merch?
Yeah.
They sent you merch for Vacation Friends?
Bought and paid for. Vacation Friends too. This is one of the worst comedies that I've seen in probably 10 or 15 years. It's not Wrong Missy levels of annoying, but it is really, really fucking annoying.
Okay, you think it's that bad? Wow.
I think the movie's horrendous. I don't think the first one is horrible. I don't have the score in front of me. I will pull it up. I gave it in the 50s. I think it's like 50s, 60s. I think potentially from critics and audience as well. This movie descends into the absurd in not a funny way. I did not laugh for almost the entire movie. And I'm dumb humor is kind of my thing. Like I can laugh at some pretty dumb humor. Oof, this is tough. This is a really tough movie to get through. I hated this movie. The first 45 minutes of the movie are the longest 45 minutes of movie I've watched in a very, very long time. 7 out of 100. This is an abysmal comedy. I hated this. I hated this movie. It's 2023 and a large chunk of this movie's joke is cryptocurrency, which I know crypto is relevant, but it feels like that was shit written like 4 years ago. It's just, oof. Tough.
Scam coin, baby. Scam coin.
Very. Oh, that was tough too. Like the jokes. Crypto's still relevant. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's not relevant, but like the humor side of it. Jesus.
Yeah.
What the fuck? 7 out of 100. Ken Jack.
It was a rough one to watch because like I kind of liked the first one. And I remember when we reviewed it, I was like, this is like maybe the most pleasant surprise I've had out of a movie in a while because like nothing about the trailers, about the premise, like any of it seemed funny, and it was like there was a lot to like about the first movie, and I think maybe there's a little care put into it.
Yeah,
and this sequel is just made way too quickly, and it was way closer to like an actor's want to go on an Adam Sandler vacation movie to Hawaii, which is what I know we were just talking about that before we recorded.
It's the most Happy Madison movie that isn't Happy Madison,
which is ironic because when I was watching this, I was like, they're supposed to be in the Caribbean. And I was like, they are not in the Caribbean. Like, it is so obvious they are not in the Caribbean. They're like somewhere in the Pacific. And it turns out they shot in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And when I was looking at the filming locations, they used for the airport and a couple other places, the Hawaii Convention Center, which is used almost exclusively for Adam Sandler movies when he films movies in Hawaii, which is just fucking perfect. And also this movie has Steve Buscemi in it, which is an Adam Sandler classic guy. There's not a lot to say about the movie. Like the jokes aren't funny. Everything's a bit more funny, a bit less, more tired. And like, nobody is putting in as much effort. I would say like everyone's just kind of like the gears shifted back. And the only good thing I could say is like Cena's still the star and his comedic instincts are incredible. And the fact that he's like this big massive behemoth makes everything he does funnier. But other than him, it's like, what do you get? Like, what's redeemable about this movie? Like, nothing.
I think the one redeemable thing, and this is what the strength of the first one was, and I liked it quite a bit too. I was at like, I think a 65, 70 in that area. They have great chemistry together. Like the four main stars. Yeah. I think they work together really well. They play off each other. And my biggest thought while watching this was like, damn, I wish they didn't run back Vacation Friends. And I wish they had just gone the Happy Madison route. Bring back the whole cast, but do something completely different. Hmm. You ran the well dry on Vacation. Like, we don't need more Vacation Friends. Like,
so just what would you give it, Ken Jack?
I gave it a 28. And I forgot to mention, too, something very funny that I noticed within the opening, like, 10 minutes of the movie is like, they expected us to retain a lot of lore from the first movie. They did not explain anything. Like, yeah, there's Morelio. I was like, who the fuck is Morelio?
We'll definitely get more into that in cons, because that was a huge note that I had as well. Robbie, your score?
I'm at a 40, but it's really just built like it's built off. It was not the hardest thing to watch. I don't think it was like miserable to watch, but it wasn't funny. Mm. I was also sitting in an airport watching this, which doesn't, I feel like that.
That's definitely a failing grade average from us.
It's a failing movie.
Let's get into cons then first. That's Kenjek. That's the one I want to talk about. Just never a good sign when you got to pause the movie to watch the last movie's trailer and read the Wikipedia quickly to make sure you remember who somebody like this is not Avengers. You don't like, you shouldn't have to remember certain little things for such like a throwaway comedy like this. Crazy.
Yeah. It's not even like we're going like Hangover to Hangover 2. Like Vacation Friends was not on the level of success of something like insane dynamo comedy that everyone was like lining up to watch. Like, Your audience here is what? People who see it on the banner page? There's no one who's like, I can't wait for Vacation Friends 2 to drop. I fucking love the first one. No one was really there. No. You gotta give us a little more something, because like you can't expect us to remember that much lore from Vacation Friends.
Like, there, I mean, great comedies, for the most part, like sequels to great comedies, like all-time comedies, usually aren't very good. Like comedy sequels are impossible to do. And they did it for Vacation Friends.
Yeah. Like, and they did it in like that. Like it feels like they wrote this whole movie in like an overnight. You know what I mean?
The,
yeah.
The whole concept of the Murillo character watching their kid, it was supposed to play as a big funny thing. And there was a while where I'm like, am I missing a joke here? Like, is there a thing that's, it's never played into like a big laugh. It's just like, leave the kid at home with a family member or something. Like it's like, it was so unnecessary. And I thought I had missed like a plot point early on in the movie. Like, am I just dumb? Like, do I not get this? So many little things like that.
They needed him there to play like El Chapo at the end or whatever the comp was supposed to be.
Also,
when, like, fools the drug dealer who was the dude from The Wire who was, oof, mailed that one in.
This movie's way too long, by the way.
Yeah, way, way too long.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. It feels very long. It's only an hour 40, but it feels fucking long.
I would have guessed 2 hours minimum.
Yeah.
I would have guessed that too. I told you that when I paused halfway through last night, because I moved from where I was watching and I watched the rest in bed. And when I hit play and I saw, I was like, I only watched 45 minutes of this fucking movie just now. Are you kidding me? It felt like an eternity.
Yeah.
It's just never, like, I understand like the premise and the characters are the absurd, but it just goes way too far on some things. And it's like, it's where it gets into that Happy Madison thing where when it becomes to the point of being silly and not a funny way, it's just cringeworthy. It's just so dumb. And even like, I know you have to probably add another character and change up some things, but like the Steve Buscemi character, he was fine, but he was so unnecessary.
Waste of time. Absolute waste of time.
I couldn't believe that was him either, by the way. I was like, when I first realized, I was like, what the fuck? He's in this movie?
It reminded me of, do you remember, just speaking of the Sandler ones, like Ridiculous 6 or whatever the movie was. I just remember the scene where like they have the donkey shit all over Rob Schneider. I was
A classic scene in American cinema, by the way.
Yeah. I was like, what the fuck are we doing here? Like, you're not attempting to be like funny. It's like, this is like how you would like make like a 5-year-old laugh. Which is fine if that's what you're going for, but that's not the audience Vacation Friends is looking for. You know what I mean? It's like they're trying to get like a, I would say like, I don't know, a 25 to 40 year old audience, I would guess is what they're looking for there. Something like that.
I'm just assuming they threw this on there so people can just have something to hit play, keep you on the app.
Yeah, and it was,
I don't know.
It was a real fucking bummer. And again, it's almost a waste of time for some actors that are very talented. And like you're saying, they have chemistry together. And John Cena is maybe like one of the funniest actors on the fucking planet right now. He's so goddamn good.
He is very good.
His instincts, man.
Yeah, he's got great timing, great face, like facial control. Like he needs something. Like he needs Vacation Friends, I like, but like I do think he has a comedy movie in him that is like very good. Like upper 80s. Like I think he has that in him because he is as talented as they come when it comes to comedic timing.
Yeah. And then it's just wasted on this. Same with Buscemi. Like, I mean, I don't know what Buscemi's also going on. A Miracle Worker season 4 or something, but like, he's got something else better to do than this. Unless again, it's just, hey, Netflix is going to, or Hulu's going to fly us all out to Hawaii, pretend we're in the Caribbean and film a movie. I'd be like, yeah, sign me up. I'll be there in an instant, but still just kind of a bummer.
It's like the bit ran dry. I think with the first movie, it was
absolutely.
Cause like, it's like every 10 minutes you get, John Cena does something, John Cena or Kyla do something ridiculous, and then Little Rel Howery's like, "Oh, why'd you do that? Why'd you do that?" Just like that over and over again. Like they just run that play 15 minutes at a time, over and over and over again.
I think another one of the biggest cons too is that Cena is very funny, and he was funny in the last one. He's very funny in Blockers. He's really good in Peacemaker, and there's a common thread there. Now I'll take out Vacation Friends 1 because I don't think it's like great by any means. But like you look at Peacemaker, you look at Blockers, very well written movies in terms of comedy and shows in terms of comedy. They understand the character. They allow him to like play to his strengths. Where, like you said, Kenjek, what's funny is that he's this big guy, and typically when he's in funny roles, he's this like different type of character. He plays against type, but this leans into him just being such a doofus that it's just not funny.
Wow.
Like, it still has to be that. Right. There's got to be like that charming, endearing element to it. And it's just like dumb. It's just like, eh.
Like they're all competing to be the loudest person in the room. And like, that's not funny to me. Like that's a loud movie.
That's such a good point. Loud movie. That opening airport scene is obnoxious.
God, dude. And it's like, that's funny for like if you want to do that for like a bit in a second, that's great. If just them screaming, "She has anthrax. Oh, this guy's a pedophile." Like, And just screaming fuck as loud as humanly possible. You know what I mean? Like, that's not humor. That's just so fucking lazy.
It's the fifth grade penis game where you just yell penis progressively louder. Exactly. see who can yell penis the loudest.
It's a bummer. And I can't blame any of the actors in this because, like, very few of them were, like, the reason any of this went wrong. It's just really bad, like, rushed writing. Like, I'm not sure that Vacation Friends is even a movie that demands a sequel at all. Probably not.
Absolutely.
Forever without one.
That's the big issue. Is it's just not a movie that needed a sequel.
If you're going to put effort into it, you know what I mean? Like, do a little bit better. I don't know. It needed better.
Maybe
jokes.
They heard that people wanted a couples retreat sequel, and they accidentally this one.
Yeah, Vacation going to go Friends.
Any pros? I don't really have any pros.
John Cena being really good, even in a losing effort. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, back to it. I think John Cena's great, and I do think they have great chemistry. Like, I'd like to see Cena and Howery team back up and do something else, because I think they're fun together. Like, that's a fun little duo.
We did put together that Ronnie Chang has been typecast into Crazy Executive Man number one. Crazy Rich Guy number one is this role forever now. Like, he can't seem to escape that. Like, Joyride, he was that exact same character from Joyride.
I mean, he's done it in Joyride now. He's done it in Crazy Rich Asians.
Crazy Rich Asians. Even, like, Shang-Chi, he's kind of like that.
Shang-Chi.
Yeah.
He's done it three times now.
Yeah. I feel like we're missing one, too.
He was in Megan.
He was the same Megan. Guy.
Yeah, Megan, same guy. Yeah. I was about to say Megan.
That's Megan, crazy. The same guy. Fuck, I feel like we're missing one. Oh, he was in Trust. I don't think I remember that. Yeah, dude, he's that guy. That's his character now. Fuck, man. That's a bummer. I mean, it's still funny. He's very, in like all these things anyway, but still. He was in Young Rock. Shout out to Ronnie Chang.
Who do you play in Young Rock?
Greg Yao. I don't know what the reference is to that, so. Shout out to Ronnie Chang. Funny actor.
Yeah, not a lot of positive there.
John Cena rock movie, rock comedy, team up.
The Rock's not funny.
Yeah, I don't think The Rock's funny enough. I think John Cena would run circles around him.
Yeah, it would be like embarrassing for The Rock because he would look so bad by comparison.
Actually, has John Cena ever acted alongside another former wrestler?
He absolutely. In those early movies like The Marine and shit, I'm sure they had like some C-list dude playing a thug or something. Like, man, that would be John Cena and Batista. There you're cooking with gas. There we go. Because those are two big but fucking massive dudes that are great at comedy. That would be awesome.
Make it happen. Come on. I was going to say Vince, but he's not.
Vacation there. Friends 3. Bring in a wrestler. That's what we need.
Just one more wrestler.
You don't think they would, right?
What, for Vacation Friends? Make a Vacation Friends 3?
They got more dignity than that, right?
I mean, the first one got a sequel, and it wasn't like it was all that great. This one's getting power bombed in reviews, though.
If this was on Netflix, they would have already announced that it got 50 trillion views. So, I mean, Hulu will presumably be more transparent.
What is John Cena's finishing move? Wait, what was his signature move?
F5. No, he's not F5. He's, God damn it, making me look it up.
The most Vacation Friends, the most viewed movie of all time.
No, Hulu doesn't do
the attitude shit. Adjustment. The attitude adjustment. Yeah, that one is cool.
Yeah, the movie is getting horrible reviews. So I would imagine,
rightfully so, man. This was like a Happy Madison adjacent type of deal. Like, it really, really was. Yeah. Which is a bummer.
Yeah, it's the reviews are still really fucking bad for this. It's on Hulu though, if you want to watch it. Final thoughts. I think a big time no recommendation for me.
Huge
in
no.
The single digits for rating. I thought this was horrific.
It's one of those ones where like I only put them in the single digits if I was like angry that I had to finish it. I was more just like I just feel like I wasted a lot of time. You know what I mean? Like, there's some redeemable points here and there, but like, I feel like I wasted a lot of time watching that movie.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest problem is it's just not funny.
Yeah.
It just isn't funny.
That's always the biggest problem with a comedy is when it's just simply not funny.
There's like, you could sit here, talk about the acting. You could talk about like how it doesn't really matter. It just needs to be funny. And it wasn't like, that's what it really boils down to.
Can't not be funny. It's like the number one rule of a comedy.
Yeah.
Next thing on our docket here seems to be the Equalizer 3.
Three Equalizer?
Yeah. Potentially Bottoms as well, but Equalizer 3 is the next big thing out.
Is that and that is coming out for sure, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that theater or is that streamer? All I know is
no, that's in theaters. Yeah, they played the trailer before I saw Oppenheimer again the other day. So the they're banking on that.
That trailer gets a little pop every time it plays.
He's out in Italy. Yeah. That's all I remember is that he's out in Italy for some. What the fuck is his name in?
Well, actually, the beginning of the Equalizer 3 trailer feels like the beginning of the Haunting in Venice trailer, which comes out in 2 weeks as well. I keep confusing them when I see them in theaters. So,
Bottoms, we should probably do too.
Yeah, so things on the docket ahead: Bottoms, Equalizer 3, The Nun 2, My Big Fat Greek Wedding 3. We have to review. We are contractually obligated to review any movie with Joey Fatone.
Yeah, you have a fucking My Fat Greek Wedding like towel behind you.
I do. Mm-hmm. it's a Joey Fatone bobblehead. Yeah.
Actually, speaking of Happy Madison, that you are so not invited to my bar mitzvah movie. I saw it was getting good ratings, right?
Yeah,
good ratings.
We can do that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People seem to like that.
I'm not sure it's targeted at us, but
what has that ever stopped us?
But yeah, the people who it's targeted towards do seem to really be enjoying it.
It's got 95 and Rotten.
Oh, wow.
95 with 42 reviews.
Oh, okay.
They're doing something.
September starts to ramp up a little bit as the month goes on, and it starts to feel like it's more than worth going to the theater than before, because there's some things right now where there's not a lot, and we have the worry of things being delayed. So Vacation Friends 2, very low marks from us, average around probably in like the 20s, 30s. I'm bad at math, but not good. That's the answer there for you.
Stella Blue Coffee's new can lattes are here. Crafted with 100% Colombian coffee, each can is a good source of protein and comes in two smooth flavors, espresso cafe mocha and espresso sweet cream. And whether you're braving your morning commute or chasing your pup, Stella Blue cans are for those always on the go and for those who care. Stella Blue is more than just great coffee. It's about giving back. I named the brand after my rescue dog, Stella, who inspired our mission to help more dogs find their forever homes. Every purchase supports animal rescue organizations, so when you drink Stella Blue, you're not just fueling your day, you're saving a dog's life. Try the new cans today, taste the difference, and make a difference. All new Stella Blue coffee can lattes now available at StellaBlueCoffee.com or subscribe on Amazon for 10% off.
All right, it's draft time here on Lights, Camera, Barstool. Watching on YouTube, make sure to hit the like button below and subscribe. Got to do that. Better stuff if you do that. You do that, it helps us out. Jeff D. Lowe alongside Ken Jack, Gooch, and Rudy joining us this week for our draft. Our superhero. This seems like a little unfair because as we're doing this, there are pretty decent reviews from Blue Beetle coming out.
Yeah.
We've been making fun of Blue Beetle for a while. The promotions are crazy. They took over the steps of the Philadelphia Art Museum.
They call those the Blue Beetle steps now. That's what everyone calls them.
They were like, they were copying Barbie's promotion. It just seemed like an easy thing to make fun of. People seem to enjoy it, though. But with that said, we are going to be drafting least favorite on-screen comic book characters. So it's got to be something in a movie, in a show. The streaming stuff counts as well. Obviously, now Disney had what? We just saw a tweet yesterday. They were talking about how many projects in between
18 projects since we last saw Captain America.
Yeah, 18 projects since we last saw Sam Wilson's Captain America. That's insane. Crazy. That's absolutely crazy. Insane.
I thought it was an exaggeration, and then the guy actually listed them all. But the funniest part of that tweet was the one guy who responded, actually, we have seen them since the show came out, because there's an alternate storyline on Disney cruises.
It is true. If you go on the Disney cruise, there's an Ant-Man, like Ms. Marvel's in it. Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to draft least favorite. Here's how we're going to do it. We're going to randomize it with a coin. I actually bought a large prop coin, but I don't have it yet. So Rudy's our guest. Rudy, call it in the air.
You got a prop coin? What, yeah. Is that different than a coin?
Yeah. My brother, they got the real ones. You're holding it.
Yeah, the prop coin is going to be like the size of my face.
That's called counterfeit money. That's illegal.
I'm not going to try and use it at like Target or anything. Rudy, call it in the air, heads or tails?
Tails.
Okay, it's heads. We'll move on to, we'll go down the list of what I see in front of me. Ken Jack, heads or tails?
Tails. Tails never fails.
Heads again.
Wow.
Gooch. It did.
Give me head.
Now it's going to be tails, dummy.
It's tails again. All right, I'm going to call it.
See?
I didn't call anything, so I'm an idiot and pass me up. Rudy, I didn't call it. I cheated. Rudy, heads or tails?
Tails.
Heads again. Ken Jack.
Holy shit. Okay. What a fucking fire up starts. Tails, tails, tails.
It's tails. What do you want? What pick?
If we're going 1 through 4, I'll go one. I think I got enough.
All right. Ken Jack's going to go with the first pick. Gooch, heads or tails?
Heads.
It's heads. What do you want?
Give me three.
Three. Gooch has the third pick. Let's see. I'll go heads. It's heads. I'll go two, and then Rudy gets last. Rudy, but it's a snake draft.
No, it's a good spot. It's a good spot. Yeah,
four is good.
All right. Least favorite on-screen comic book characters. I feel like we can be lenient in some spots. And it's not good. If you pick the character, it doesn't span every character ever for that character. Because there's obviously been multiple terrible versions of some characters. So, Ken Jack, first overall pick, least favorite on-screen comic book character.
I'll go with a very easy one off the top. Actually, I guess tipped myself when I was talking to you guys about this earlier. The Jared Leto Joker. The Jared Leto Joker is one of the least palatable on-screen comic book characters I think I've ever come across in my life. And a lot of that just to do with, you know, Jared Leto being a fucking freak and sending his co-actors or whatever, co-stars like dead pig intestines and condoms filled with like blueberry muffins or whatever the fuck it was. But it's just the character itself was not creepy. It was like the fakest edgy nonsense that I'd ever seen. And it tanked the movie pretty badly. And obviously people started to say like, oh, the air's cuts out there. It's a better version. There's not.
Every hardo at a club in Vegas. That's what he was in like Suicide Squad. Yeah,
exactly. He was like a weird, you know, like they have this kind of people on TikTok and shit now, just like over the top personality guys were like, hey, look, I'm wearing this goofy shit. Like that was him. Like it's just nothing about it was good or scary or felt like the Joker. And it was just like, it really was tough. Like, cause we always talk about like when Joker came out, right? It's like, how do you follow up the Ledger, right? Like this was the actual follow up to Ledger and it was awful. It was so fucking bad. So I'll go with Leto's Joker.
He stinks. It's a stinky character. And then I liked the Snyder cut of Justice League. I think it's like great. But isn't there like a dream sequence in there where he like talks about giving Batman a hand job or something?
Very end,
dude. They have the sequence where they're in like the post apocalyptic spot or whatever.
You got to go to the fifth hour to find that little bit.
Yeah, exactly. It takes a lot of fast forwarding.
It is a Chernobyl level disaster what they did to that joke because it's. It's not only the performance and the behind the scene. It's the performance. It's the behind the scene stuff. It's the costume design, damaged in cursive on his fucking head.
The tattoos, the tattoo on the hand,
the purple Lamborghini, just from top to bottom. They didn't make a single right decision.
Real. You're an MCU guy. Do you have like disdain for the DC Snyder movies?
Yeah, I don't like them. Honestly, like I think Snyder's good, but the problem is like, I feel like he makes like YouTube video movies. It's like 4K, 120 FPS. Like he just does fucking slow-mo and like high contrast. I feel like I'm watching like a YouTube video.
So not in the least mean way possible. Like if I were to an AI were to absorb every Zack Snyder movie that's ever existed and pump out a fan for it, what it would look like, it would be you. Like you, he makes movies directly for you. So that's I would assume you'd be a big guy.
I survive. I'm a Zack Snyder survivor.
I survived as Zack Snyder.
He was pinning 300 and he's like, fuck, Rudy's going to love this.
Yep. And then let me guess, you love that shit. And you had to love 300.
Dude, 300 fucking rules.
Exactly. Yeah. It's awesome. It's so good.
But it's like, dude, like, I don't know why it doesn't work for other shit. It just didn't work for me. Yeah. Like, it's just muscle bound. I mean, the story of 300 is just cool. I don't know, but the Joker's a good pick. I feel like that Joker would have gotten absolutely flamed by every other Joker. Like if you multiversed and put him in a room, they would cook his ass.
He'd be the Meek Phil of the Jokerverse.
Dude, he'd be the bitch. Like he would get absolutely flamed. They'd be like, you're a poser. You're not about this life. He's like if a Brooklyn dude was like, oh, I'm going to be the Joker now.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
come on,
and
guys.
That's coming from another recovered Brooklyn dude.
Going to the Mirage.
That's a good.
You guys want to go to Catch?
Yeah,
I got a table at Common Ground.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's a table douchebag. Like he's just which like getting a table doesn't make you a douchebag, but it's the guys who are like. Like I was out this past weekend and you see it's like the group who after like the wedding or like the rehearsal dinner, like it's that select group that goes out after, and it's the one guy who gets the table. Everyone, I had a guy just like falling over the stage with like a Tito's bottle. It's like, all right, man. It's like, all right,
we need to get bottle service. We need to get bottle service, dude. We need to get it. No, we don't.
He was just, the guy was just pointing at people like, shot? No, I don't want your straight vodka shot. I'm sorry. It's okay. Okay,
yeah, he was like a Coke dealer dressed as the Joker.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You guys love the ruthless, neurotic portrayal of the Joker. Now we're going to give you a fucking douchebag.
Yeah, literally just a dude, like a dick. Like someone you wouldn't want to be around, not because they're going to kill you, but because they're just going to annoy you.
Yeah.
Okay, Jeff.
My pick in round one, I'm gonna go Deadpool from X-Men Origins Wolverine. It's a truly horrible character. It is, in a sense, a good character because it did allow us to get the current Deadpool. Like, it was so bad that they never really went back to that. They never thought about going back to it. It gets made fun of in the current Deadpool movies, but it takes such a funny character where the entire point is that they talk. It's literally like the Merc with a mouth. Like, that's the nickname of the character, having a mouth, talking, joking, to sew his mouth shut and just not speak the whole part of the movie where he is like the Deadpool character. And he looked terrible. Looked ridiculous. If you were to like pull together the best examples of not getting it when it comes to studios, that is probably number one of like just not understanding source material, the audience, and for some reason trying to find a way to do something different when it's so different it's not even like worth making. And that movie just, except for the opening. The opening of X-Men.
Except for the opening. I was hoping you would mention it.
Yeah. The opening of Origins Wolverine, where Wolverine and Sabretooth are running through all the wars in history, is pretty awesome. But the rest of the movie just stinks. Stinky movie.
Do you remember the I forget what the character was, but the dude with the guns on their team, X-Force, whatever. There's a scene where he like just runs up and he like jumps up over like a cliff and is like shooting his guns while going. It was one of the worst wire work scenes I think I've ever seen in my entire life. It's that whole movie was bad.
Some brutal wire work in that. Yeah, no, Deadpool Origins for me. Gooch, round one pick.
What a performance from Will.i.am.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I forgot about Will.i.am
is in it. And what's his name?
Dominic Monaghan is in it.
What's his superhero? What's his villain or whatever it is?
What, in Origins?
Will.i.am. What's his character?
Like Fly?
What's his name is in it?
Like, it's like Remy or something? That's Ratatouille.
No, you're talking about Remy LeBeau. Remy LeBeau is in X-Men Origins Wolverine. Who's our Gambit? Gambit's in X-Men Origins Wolverine. Taylor Kitsch.
Yeah, it's John Wraith.
John Wraith.
Yes.
You seem like a big Taylor Kitsch. You could be Taylor Kitsch, Rudy. Like, if he were to die and they needed someone to do like the work for him, you could definitely pass for Taylor Kitsch.
Thanks, bro.
He's just as good of an actor, too.
Yeah, honestly.
Friday Night Lights. Tim Riggins.
Look what he looks like now, though. Like, you look like a splitting image of. I was just watching him in Painkiller.
He's a big hockey guy, too.
Massive hockey guy. We were interviewing him about it.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, we kind of got the same almost receding hairline, but you can fake it.
It's right there.
Gooch, what are you going your first pick?
Ezra Miller. And this is.
Oh, wow. This, wow. I didn't think. Okay.
This is outside of like the off the field behavior. I mean, I'm going to ignore that for a second and just talk about his on-screen portrayal of the Flash. Yeah, Barry. It's just weird. It's just unsettling. It never fits in with the rest of the movie. And it's like he's trying to be an endearing nerd, but he's just the kind of nerd that you really want to put in a fucking locker. Like, just the worst. Like, there's no charisma. I'm shocked he ever got a solo movie because he's easily the worst part of
the Flash. Got no riz,
right?
Oh, no.
That's the other
not
thing.
Not only getting a solo movie, like fighting tooth and nail to get the movie, like yes. Everything, like curving every possible thing, like letting everything go, ignoring things just to make sure that movie gets out. It is crazy.
It looks bad when he's delivering dialogue, just in like his normal street clothes. Looks bad when he's trying to be a superhero. Didn't know how to fucking run. That seems like a big issue for the Flash. Didn't know how to run. Like, he looked up videos of cheetahs running instead of normal human beings. What are we thinking? I mean, it's a bad.
The arm flailing run. Yes. Yeah. Which people do. Don't people defend it?
You should not.
I mean, people, you can find defenders of everything online.
Unfortunately. He runs like this. Yeah.
But yeah,
friends, like Phoebe and Friends. Yeah, no, that's the brutal character. But like, even then, like he was okay in the small doses in like
Justice League. Yeah,
right, like, but it's one of those things though where it's like, did you sit there when you watched it? Like Devil's Advocate, when you watched that his first portrayal, did you sit there and go, "This is the worst part"? No, you maybe didn't love it, but when you expand it to a full role, it becomes like bad.
The scene when they're my headphones just cut out. The scene where they're
oh shit, I can hear. Maybe your mic cut out.
Yeah, your mic cut out.
Oh my god,
hey, your mic just
this is an out. Unbelievable studio. You guys lucked out so much, Rudy. Even though your current setup is a little shitty, like literally nothing changed in what we're sitting in right now, and the hardware just shit out. So work on this one.
Your mic just stopped working.
Jesus Christ! All right, he's gonna go fix the condenser. I guess Rudy, you go.
The Flash just zapped in there and snipped his wires.
Ezra Miller just got your fucking wires. Yeah. Gooch.
Snyder fans just cut out Gooch's mic. Rudy, you're we're gonna fix Gooch's mic. Rudy, your first round pick.
My first round pick. Well, first I was gonna say I just thought of this. Ezra Miller as like real life Ezra Miller, but he has the powers of the Flash as a villain would be fucking awesome.
As a villain, yeah. Oh yeah.
He would like Flash. Sick. Yeah, just like starting Colts. Beating the shit out of bartenders, but can run super fast. That'd be a fucking awesome villain.
Yeah. Hell
just
yeah.
Just terrorizing dude. The United States of America.
Burglarize the entire West Coast in like 10 seconds.
Exactly. My first pick, it's kind of a hot one, but I've always thought this. It's just never done anything for me, is Superman.
Which Superman, though?
All of them, just in general.
Ooh.
I just don't like Superman. Superman's never done it for me. I feel like Superman is made for infants. Like if you look at Superman's fan base, it's infants. And if you're an adult Superman fan, you got to reevaluate.
Rudy, this really hurts coming from you. I'm an adult Superman fan.
You got to reevaluate.
you and Jerry Seinfeld. That's the two biggest.
I like that he's just a wholesome guy. He's just a normal guy who wants to be a good person.
That's my problem. Is like if you're an adult man, get you a superhero with some fucking problems, dude.
He's got some problems.
He doesn't have enough problems. That is very true.
One problem. He has one problem is that he's like dating a girl whose dick could kill her.
Okay. I was like, well, Lois is packed.
Yeah, seriously. Superman, like, are you fucking Lois has a kryptonite strap on?
Got two issues. His dick can kill his girlfriend and kryptonite. If you go to like a superhero like fan meet and greet, it would just be the ratio would be a daycare.
The ratio.
I don't hate the pick. Because I will say, the original Superman, I do like the original Superman movie, and that portrayal I think is still the best. But like, I like Cavill, but unfortunately, Cavill's Superman, I think, was written terribly. It's never been portrayed well on screen, not his fault. I think he does a good job portraying what is written for him, but they've never done a good job writing that character. Mm-hmm. It's a mopey, fucking downer, loser character. The Brandon Routh one, whatever. So I don't hate that.
You didn't like when he got that bullet in the eye.
The bullet in the eye was one of the coolest things I've ever seen. That commercial where the bullet just flattens out in his eyeball. Yeah. Rudy, don't shake your head. You know that shit was cool.
No, it's not, dude. You're a fucking superhero. Bullets are like the least of your like. It's not a flex to deal with a fucking bullet.
Yeah, but in 2006, seeing a bullet hit someone's eyeball and flatten out, that was like like seeing God for the first time.
Dude, Iron Man became Superman just by learning how to code and solder electronics.
Yeah, he's like a nerd.
Dude, Kal-El would fucking wash him in four games. Come on.
No, dude.
There wouldn't even be four games.
Iron Man would get smoked.
No, that, not even close.
But the fact that Superman even comes close to dying at the hands of Batman in Batman v Superman alone is
kind of lame. Number one. Batman, yeah, give Batman some prep. Batman with prep time. He could kill God.
The rich guy.
Fucking psycho Batman fans, including our good friend Gerald McCoy.
True. Yeah.
True. I mean, there is a literal animated movie and comic book run where Batman just does kind of kill God. I mean, he kills Darkseid. The guy that like just bodies Superman. He just like Batman's like light work.
Yeah. I guess I'm trying to side with Rudy for the sake of the argument. Like I could see in the vacuum, like Superman can be kind of lame at times.
He's too Uber.
It's like, is he the most powerful person ever? But then he gets bodied. It's like,
what I mean, that's gonna be the success of the James Gunn one is going to completely hinge on how they portray that character. Like, I'm very curious. And like, that's why I've said, like, I think that movie could be great and I can still see it bombing. Cause there is that small thing that people talk about. Like, does Superman not resonate with American audiences anymore? People just not give a shit about Superman anymore, which could be the case.
He's got a lame outfit too.
We'll find out. All right, Rudy, round two, you have the first pick. Snake draft goes back to you.
Oh shit. Okay. I'm going to try to save one, but I got a long list. I'm going to go with Winter Soldier.
Oh, Winter Soldier. Wow. Rudy, you're going to eat shit on this graphic, my friend.
Oh, I know. But I just got to get it out. Like, I don't want to go like the easy ones. Winter Soldier, like, is just a dud, dude. Like, he's just a dud. Like, I've never seen a superhero who, like, treats it like a 9-to-5. Like, do you even want to fucking be here, dude?
To be fair, I don't think he definitely doesn't.
Yeah, I get it. Like, he technically didn't sign up. And in Winter Soldier, or in the first Captain America, he has like a bit more of a role. He doesn't really have, they don't really do much to like his character development, but every time he would come into frame, it would just be him. Like, he's always 30 yards away. Like, why is he always 30 yards away from everyone, just like walking away from, like, I think he just wants to be a farmer. Like, he's always walking away from like a tractor or something.
He is constantly leaving. That is true.
Yeah, he's just lingering. I don't think he wants to be there. He doesn't offer anything, like, has no opinions on anything. He's just like, yeah, dude, this is my Captain America is my home. He doesn't say anything ever. He also is just like a war zone character in a superhero movie. Like, he's pulling up with a kitted out Bruin. It's like, what are you gonna fucking do? He's got one strong arm, I'll give him that.
He's got the very strong arm. That's fair.
I think it's just the lingering, and like, I think we'd all be doing him a favor if we just let him go do something else.
He's the fringe guy of the MCU.
Yes, dude. He's just always kind of like,
I do feel like a little bad for him too. You can tell, like, in Infinity War when he's on Wakanda, when T'Challa brings him the arm, you can tell he's kind of like, God damn it, dude.
Like, are you kidding me, dude?
I'm enjoying the peace and quiet. I've got my robes on. Like, I'm just relaxing. And you bring me this weapon arm now, and I'm just back in the game again.
Yeah, dude. He's got his hoe. He's running the fields. He's happy. And then they're like, oh, he's like, oh, now I got to pull up as a human, kind of like a bigger, better human being to fight against fucking Thanos. And what do I have? An LMG.
Yeah, he had the pass too at that point. So, like, getting rid of all of that is just horrible.
Yeah, he gets the White Wolf nickname for all of 30 seconds. They're like, no, you're just fucking Bucky again, just Winter Soldier.
And then he gets cucked in the end.
Wait, in what sense?
And when Captain America comes back, his number one homie, he's like, nah, Anthony Mackie, whatever.
Yeah, you get him. I'm gonna go have sex with.
With my former lover's niece.
Yeah. Oh, Cap had a strange history.
That's cool as fuck.
Gooch, round two, first pick.
Generational fucker.
I'm going to go with Vision. I love you, Paul Bettany. I love you, Paul Bettany, but Vision stinks. Vision stinks to look at. He looks at it. It's just disgusting to look at. And he got even grosser when they turn into a sperm. God. White Vision rolls into my Vision pick, right?
Yeah, you get all.
Yeah, you're taking Vision MCU. All, yeah.
Some people say White Vision's a completely different person. I do not agree with that sentiment. They all stink. He's just lame. He's just fucking following Wanda around constantly like a little puppy dog. Like, oh, please, please, just a little crumb of your pussy, please.
Mm-hmm. I mean, God, she is bad.
So weird.
Yeah, fact.
Yeah. I mean, I'd probably do it too, but. No, I do not like Vision. I didn't like him when they introduced him. It was kind of weird how they introduced him too. Like, you know what I mean?
To play devil's advocate, when they introduced him.
I didn't hate how they introduced him. I thought he was one of the good parts of Age of Ultron.
His speech with Ultron at the end of the movie, I thought was the best part of the entire movie.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, he just shows up so late in the game. And they're just like, oh, yeah, here's this all-powerful robot that we built from one of the Infinity Stones.
Mm-hmm. I know. I never hated the Vision intro. I thought the Vision intro was done well, at least for, because what you said, a lot of times they introduce something late in the game or something pops up, makes no sense. But like, Tony's explanation kind of worked. Like, you get why it's so powerful, the stone. I never hate it. I get that he's whiny. Like, I don't disagree with you. He becomes a much whinier, basically human being the rest of the way. Mm-hmm. But I do, I do, I don't mind his intro in a movie that's like kind of just okay to maybe bad.
He's very much in that same camp of the Lingerer, except he was cool and he had powers. You know what I mean? Like Bucky had no powers except for like Rudy's, like the strong arm and strength. Like Vision had that same sort of thing where he was just kind of there the entire time.
Yeah, and he's
but like, he also had mega powers.
Yeah, he's incredibly OP, and they just have him chilling at Avengers HQ.
Yeah, they're
like yeah, just hang out over here.
Yeah, he does do a lot of like. Seems like he's always doing chores.
He's fucking when Avengers Infinity War started, he was prone boning Scarlet Witch in Scotland. Like he was just relaxing. He had a great time.
It is funny that Age of Ultron is like basically them fighting against Siri.
Yeah, more or less.
Mm-hmm. I like Ultron. I like James Spader Ultron.
Yeah, I wish that character had more of a presence. It is. I think it's. I think he does a great job voicing that character and everything.
Dude, when he picks up fucking Mjolnir for the like, that's cool. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's
cool
I like shit. That. It's a great scene. Yeah, it's a good audience freak out.
I'm against this pick by Gooch. I'll say I find him inoffensive.
My round two pick, because Rudy got every Superman, I'm going to combine two of mine too. I'm going every Venom. I
that's a great pick.
Doesn't matter. Spider-Man 3 Venom, corny, stupid, makes the character very lame. With what's his face playing him?
Topher Grace.
Yeah, I could not get Toby. I want to say Toby Grace. Topher Grace. Love Topher Grace. Great role in Ocean's 11. But I hate that Venom. It's a lame Venom. It makes the character. Because to me, Venom, I wasn't a huge comic book fan growing up, but like I had some of the toys and stuff. And Venom to me was always like this fucking badass, cool looking character, this alternate Spider-Man that's just a villain. And then I saw Spider-Man 3 and I'm like, that's kind of, he's just goo. He's just this goo. And then with this, that 70s show guy. And then I don't like the Tom Hardy version either. I think the Tom Hardy version, I think the performance is cool, what he's able to do. I think he does a nice job with it, but I don't love it. I think the second Venom movie is horrendous. The Let There Be Carnage movie. And I don't really love the first one. And like Ken Jack said, whatever. You could probably throw us into like the lane of like dumpy looking white guys, but Venom fans are smelly. I'm sorry to say that. I'll self deprecate to say that Venom fans are smelly people. I'm sorry. We're one and the same, but you're just smellier. That's just how it is.
They didn't hear you say that because the second you said Venom, they wiped off a bunch of chili cheese Frito dust under their pants to turn this fucking podcast off.
I feel like Venom fans are like really Punisher fans, but they're too scared to rock the Punisher logo.
So it's a combination of them and Deadpool fans. Those three fan bases are bizarre humans. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like dudes that were like, I could have been a Navy SEAL, but...
But I walk bow-legged.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I have gout. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm 800 pounds.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence about Venom. Those movies definitely have the Tom Hardy ones, like definitely have super flat parts. But I like that they made Venom like kind of funny. Mm. But I just love Tom Hardy. So I'm sort of looking at it through rose tinted glasses.
When I walked out of Deadpool, I saw it. In New York back in 2016. And I don't know why I'll never forget the people behind me when we left. They were like, yo, that was amazing. And they compared it to like a bunch of random like Oscar movies that had just come out. They're like, that's so much better than X movie. I'm like, what? Like, what's even the comparison there?
Man, this blew La La Land out of the water.
Yeah. I think that's what they said. Like, that's so much better than La La Land or something like that. I don't know what it was, but like, because when did La La Land come out? 2015?
Yeah. 16, 15?
They were comparing it to, whatever 16. It was. They were comparing it to movies that were either coming out or had come out around that time. I forget what it was, but it was like Oscar movie because Deadpool came out around the time of the Oscars. I just remember people, I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like that movie was awesome, but what do you mean it's like better than Moonlight? Like, what's even the comp there? Like, what are we comparing it to? Very weird.
Those three fan bases, if you see someone like in the same way that like if you see like a girl wearing like Cookie Monster pajamas, you know not to fuck with them. And that there's other jokes should make even that post pen. But you know, like if you see a guy wearing like a Deadpool shirt or a Venom shirt or a Punisher shirt, it tells you everything you need to know about that person. Immediately, it is like a reflection of the soul.
Man, I just really like Venom. That guy doesn't give a fuck, dude. He doesn't give a fuck, man. I love Venom.
And it's like almost like, you know, like cops just love Punisher, even though the Punisher hates cops, like, and is the antithesis of what every cop is supposed to be. Like, it makes no sense. Like, and it's just, it's one of those fandoms where it's just, it truly is a reflection into what the person is, if that makes sense. Which isn't like, it's like, hey, you're not an evil human being if you like Deadpool. I like Deadpool. I like these characters too. But like, if you're rocking it hard, we know what you are.
You know what it was? It was Mad Max, and I think they said like The Revenant. It was whatever movies were nominated around that time. I'll just never.
The Tom Hardy movies.
I was like, what the fuck are we talking about? Like, Deadpool was great, but like, who's comparing Deadpool to Brooklyn with Saoirse Ronan? Like, like, what are we? Strange. Venom. I can't stand Venom. Can't stand it. Ken Jack, back to back picks. You're the last pick of round two.
I will do to start. This is one that I think will fly under a lot of people's radar and maybe shouldn't be drafted this high, but I always think about it. Seth Rogen's Green Hornet. Green Hornet sucks. Green Hornet fucking sucks, man. It's just not, I don't know how that's a movie where I see it and I'm like, I guess it was not kind of cheap to make, I guess, but I don't know how you make it. Cause like who's lining up to go see Green Hornet?
And I don't even mean this is a negative for Jonah Hill. Seth Rogen. It's not even like a knock on. I mean, it does seem like a character Seth Rogen would love to play, though. Like, yeah. It makes complete sense that like he'd be a big Hornet head.
it wasn't a good movie. But more than that, the character, and I'm sure it's great in comic world or whatever, but Green Hornet. No, not even.
Nope.
Yeah, so even worse.
Nope.
Just it's fucking Green Hornet. Who's going lining up to go see this caped? Like, I don't know what you call him, crime fighter,
Caped Crusader.
Not even caped. He was because he looked like the Hamburglar.
Yes,
like it was just like
the Hamburglar.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm lining up to go see the Hamburglar movie.
Remember, it was also the first movie that used Christoph Waltz after his big intro to American audiences with Inglourious Bastards too.
Wow.
Yeah, it was like the first movie to take advantage of him being like a mainstream American actor.
Damn, I never put that together. I'll back that up, or I'll back to back with Sophie Turner's Jean Grey. I think she stunk as Jean Grey, and not to say that like it was a Famke Janssen was like some incredible version of Jean Grey or anything like that. But this character is so cool. Like anything you read about Jean Grey, it's like a fucking sick character that should be incredible. And like her specific Sophie Turner's iteration of it was so bad and so flat and so nothing and so like just mechanical and robotic. And it's like, this should be one of the coolest characters, not only just in the X-Men universe, but in all of the movie world universe. So much depth to it, and yet it's just boring as fuck. And like, not even just in the X-Men, like those specific like team-up movies, but like even in Dark Phoenix or whatever, what a fucking bore that movie was. And that was anchored by her. So that was, I really did never like that casting.
There's a common theme kind of with some of these picks, like young Jean Grey, Venom, I don't know if you have Vision, Superman, whiny characters.
Yeah.
Like whiny, complainy characters. And that is just, it just doesn't, like, I get you have to create like peril and like problems for these heroes and these people with powers, but it always ends up being like their problem is they're just whiny.
Yeah.
Young Jean Grey.
Ty Sheridan as Cyclops, you can even throw up there too.
Yeah. Same thing here. Just like a mopey guy. Like,
mopester. Guy. Yeah. And like James Marsden was a mopester too in the X-Men movies, but he was at least a little more badass.
My first pick in the third round, I'm going to go with a character that got a name change because fans hated it so much. From Fantastic, 2015's Fantastic Four, Dr. Doom, played by Toby Kebbell. Terrible character. Very similar to Deadpool. They just, if you've never seen the Fantastic Four 2015 movie, which a lot of people have, and it's a terrible movie.
Bad.
But you've known about it if you know comic movies, because it's considered, I think it's maybe the worst ever, pound for pound. He played Victor Von Doom. Originally, his name was going to be Victor Domashev, and then people hated it so much, they changed it to Victor Von Doom, and he played Dr. Doom. But in the movie, he gets left on a planet, and he gets all deformed, and he comes back, and he's just completely made of like one, like I don't know,
robot,
thing of like material or matter, like some sort of element. And he doesn't move; his mouth doesn't move, his face doesn't move. He's just this like stone figure, and his power is he just looks at somebody and kills them, like their head explodes. It's so fucking stupid. You can kind of tell they were trying to make some sort of horror movie type thing with it, but because the studio redid it so much, it never really worked. And that Victor Von Doom is easily one of the worst villains of any superhero movie, period. It could be Marvel's worst. That movie is like, there's a lot of times you hear about a bad movie or comic movie, and I feel like you watch it and you're like, oh, that was bad, but like maybe not as bad. Fantastic Four somehow lowers the bar when you watch it. Like it clears below the bar.
I've watched it twice and liked it so much less the second time. And like, I thought it'd be the opposite. Like, oh, it's not as, now that I know what I'm getting, maybe not as bad. No, it's worse.
And just a banger cast too. Miles Teller, Michael B. Jordan, Kate Mara, Jamie Bell, Tim Blake Nelson. I mean, Toby Kebbell's not like a bad actor. Just kind of, it's crazy. Terrible. Yeah, terrible fucking movie. So I'll go Dr. Doom. Gooch, first pick, third round.
Listen, this one's been beaten into the ground by a lot of angry men online. It's Brie Larson for me. That Captain Marvel portrayal, I think it stinks.
It's very robotic.
It stinks. And I don't think it's her fault. I really do not, because I've seen her act and I've seen her be charismatic
writing
before. It really just comes down to the writing. I don't think the character design is very cool. Her lore stinks. Like when she turns her powers on, it's just like basically like an afterglow effect or a glow effect and After Effects. And then like her fucking mohawk through her little cap thing looks terrible. But the main complaint is that it is just a robotic wooden like character. Like it has no charisma to it. There's no humor. There's no levity that makes the MCU like enjoyable, or like that's their trademark. That's really what they built their audience on. And they kind of just stripped it all away for that character. I don't know why. I the more I see that character, the less I like.
Actually, I mean, do you remember the hype for that? Like, Rudy, where do you fall with that character as an MCU guy with Captain Marvel? The hype for Captain Marvel was huge before that movie came out because it was Brie Larson.
Yeah, I agree. It's like she just has like just a bitchy demeanor for no reason, and it's kind of warranted, I guess, because she's probably like top two most powerful technically, but it's sort of just like Karen vibes. Like I would, if you brought her into the real world, I could easily see like a TMZ video of her like punching like a homeless person in the stomach for like coming near her Tesla. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like there's like a video where she gets like canceled for like beating the brakes off someone or like storming into a Jamba Juice and like screaming at one of the workers.
Exactly.
So that's the vibe I get.
Or like, or even as I'm going to piggyback off your joke, like yelling at someone for not knowing how to work the Tesla door handle, like that type of thing.
Yeah. Just some poor kid that's just like working like a summer job and she just undresses him for no reason.
Yeah.
And then they had the balls to give her a fucking Karen haircut.
That was so dumb.
The
haircut, dude.
I think Endgame is incredible. I'm one of the people, like, I know some people don't like I think a lot of people like Endgame, but maybe not as much as Infinity War. I love it. I think it's amazing, like, character development for like the MCU, which is typically known for not having that. But if I had one large complaint about character choice, the haircut is crazy to me. And they also just make fun of it in the movie too. That's the thing. It's like they knew.
Yeah. Look bad. And I disagree with you, Gooch, in that I think she bricked the performance. And like, the writing's bad, there's no question about it, and she's definitely a super talented actress, no doubt about that either. That was such a fucking stale,
I'm here to get my MCU check.
Yeah, it was such a stale performance for what is like a character that I guess could have had, like, we'll go back to depth again, that could have had pretty good depth, but it was,
I mean, it could, yeah, there. Like Rudy said, like, this is a top three most powerful character, like, yeah. Could have done something really cool there. I don't know. Maybe they'll fix it with the Marvels. Who knows?
Yeah, there was very cool elements in the movie. It's like not a movie I hate or by any means, but that's one where like that's not a movie made by her performance by any means. I think it's one of the weaker parts of the movie.
I can't believe can't get over the hair. Yeah, the haircut really was tough. Rudy, you have back to back picks here. Round three, your pick.
Ooh, all right. For third round, I'm going to go with Ronan the Accuser.
Ooh.
Really?
Yeah. And it's more so just because I like making fun of him. He's actually like not that bad of a character. It's just, he's just so easy and fun to make fun of. Like Ronan the Incel. Like,
yeah.
Straight up, like, he probably after Guardians of the Galaxy 1, 100,000% became a 4chan mod.
He got obliterated in like literally turned to ash in the Guardians of the Galaxy. But if he were to survive, yes.
If he were to survive, he would definitely be a 4chan mod. He would be no longer hunting Infinity Stones, hunting for karma on Reddit. Like,
he just is such like a, first of all, he's a dipshit. Like, just one of those villains where he's just like, I'm gonna fuck you up.
Mm-hmm.
He's a huge tool,
massive
one. Fuck you up, dude. And also, like, he's gunning for like racial purity, I think, in the movie. If
it's a little bit Nazi-ish, you're right about that.
Nazi-ish vibes, but it's like, dude, like, first of all, like, if that's what racial purity looks like, you look like shit. You have a bad attitude. Like, if we're gonna do that, like, maybe let's just do a different race.
Which is funny too, because the guy who plays him, Lee Pace, is one of the hottest dudes on Earth.
Yeah, he's so hot.
He's like 6'9" of like pure ripped muscle.
Yeah, I like the performance of it, but you're right. The character's like he's always has like his head tilted lightly down, like tell Thanos that. Like, yeah. It's always like a very like he's got like a tool vibe about him.
Yeah, he's like he operates like that dickhead GM of like a Radio Shack who just like doesn't really do anything himself, and then in the end when he finally does something, he gets absolutely bodied by some like Earthling dipshit, and then like just delegates to a bunch of idiots. I kind of love him, actually, but it's just fun to make fun of him.
It's an all-time name, too. Ronan the Accuser just doesn't live up to it. Like, it's a dope name. And never accused. He's more like a fucking Craig.
Yeah.
Did he accuse anyone of anything?
I don't think he made one accusation.
Also, he's in Captain Marvel, too. And is he in the new one, in the Marvels?
Yeah. I would assume no. He's dead at that point.
He looks worlds less intimidating when he doesn't have the black face paint on too. Otherwise, it looks like a fucking Smurf.
Yeah, very Smurfy. Even with like hat thing going on.
All he wants to do is just kill. He just wants to kill Glenn Close.
Yeah, the opening scene with him was cool too, because like the opening scene is a fucking Disney movie. He like smashes a dude's head in with a hammer
he's a nude man being painted by his workers or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, he crushes a dude's head with a hammer and uses his blood to make something. And it's like, oh, this is going to be cool. And then he just, like Rudy said, no accusations made. Like, that's unbelievable, man. If you're going to have the accusation as your subtitle or whatever, come on.
And then I have the next pick, right?
Yep.
Oh, man. I'm going to go with Evan Peters' Quicksilver.
It just took the air out of my fucking lungs with that dude.
Does this include Ralph Boner?
Who's that?
That's not technically him.
Yeah.
Oh, that's like specifically what I'm talking about.
Oh, like you're not talking about the X-Men?
Yeah, like mostly WandaVision.
That was on my list. Ralph Boner made my list. So
wait, is that not Quicksilver?
No, it's not.
It's technically not.
They might. Will they retroactively make it so? Possibly. But it is not. No. And they even commented on it after WandaVision came out. They went, oh, yeah, that might have been a good idea. It's like, yeah. Yeah, that probably would have been what are you talking? What?
But isn't Quicksilver Wanda's brother?
Yeah, it's a weird, it's a kind of an unexplained thing. It's very weird.
Okay, well, in that case, I'm going to go somewhere else. Because I don't want to, I'm already looking like an idiot. But that's confusing, right?
It was confusing.
Yes, it is confusing. Yeah.
Okay, in that case, I'm going to lose this draft already, so I may as well just go all the way in. I'm going to go Ant-Man.
Wow.
Yeah. Because I
like eat so much shit, dude.
As a Paul Rudd stan.
I like Paul Rudd, but like it just I liked Ant-Man a lot, but the problem is that like it just never his bit just ran out for me. It's like, dude, like his superpower is basically just to be like surprised by everything constantly. His superpower is being clueless. He's literally clueless. His name, he's like the same as like I just watched the Guardians 3. He's like literally like Cosmo, where he's just like pining for pets constantly. And it just is one of those things where I'm like, all right, dude, we get it. You're like the fun loving dad who just is like, I'll do anything for my kids. It's like, yeah, I know. I get it. But like, give me some fucking edge, dude. I just don't like superheroes that are just bland, cookie cutter, like always like doing the right thing, like kind of teary eyed all the time. Like, no, dude, that's why I like Batman. I need a guy with some fucking issues.
I mean, he's a divorced dad. He was a criminal in jail. There's some depth there.
He's an electrical engineer.
Yeah, but oh, cool. Like he went to jail, but like in like the coolest way, in like the easiest way possible. Like he went to jail for some nerd shit. It's like, no, dude. He's basically like Edward Snowden,
but not like robbed a bank or something, didn't he?
He tried to rob something, I think, and got caught.
He tried to like rob PIM particles, I think, or I don't know. I don't even remember. But yeah, no, he just ran out for me. The runway ended.
Burglary is not a lame way to go to jail, but it's also probably not a cool way.
Yeah,
he managed he managed to make it not cool, which is speaks volumes.
Gooch, you're up next.
Okay. I'm going to go back to the DC. I'm going to go with Jesse Eisenberg's Lex Luthor. Just a complete whiff. And it goes back to, I've said this a million times, that brand of villain, the techie billionaire, like quick talking.
Right.
Like,
that is very clearly from an era that we probably mm-hmm. won't see again.
It just never worked. I don't think it worked one time. It just isn't. It's not the kind of villain you fear. It's like just a villain you want to like just post memes about and dunk on. Like it's not like it's not a real villain. Like it doesn't feel like it fits into the comic book world at all. Also, Lex Luthor is not like a nerd at any point in the comics. Like he is.
He's like an alpha.
He's like an alpha. Like the dude takes like kryptonite steroids and tries to sexually harass his employees. Like he's a fucking Chad villain. He's smart, but he's a Chad villain. And so I really did not like, and I like Jesse Eisenberg, but that was just a miscast and a misfire.
Yeah, I think he played it. And like, look, we've had Jesse Eisenberg on. I wouldn't call him our friend. Like, he wouldn't recognize us on the street. But like, we've had him on a bunch, and we like Jesse Eisenberg. I don't even think it's by say. Like, I don't think his performance was the problem there. Like, I think he played it exactly how they wanted him to. I just think it was written just – again, they were playing off of Zuckerberg. They wanted a Zuckerberg, Lex Luthor. They wanted Elon Musk. They wanted, you know – old Bezos, it just didn't work. It just doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
I really need, whenever we get our next Lex Luthor, I really need him to do steroids. It is hilarious. Every time Lex Luthor does like the kryptonite steroids and he just becomes a madman.
Camille Nanjiani as the next Lex Luthor. Yeah. You can do it.
For mine, I'm going to go with Galactus from Fantastic Four Silver Surfer.
Great pick.
I don't even think I have to say much here. It's just the cloud.
It's a cloud.
Like what more? There's really not much more I need to say here. They took one of the biggest, baddest villains in the MCU, literally biggest by size too, and they just made him a big cloud, mm-hmm. just a space cloud. And there's like, I think you can see like the outline of his suit a little bit when like some of like the lightning flashes. But it is just so stupid. And again, this goes along the lines of like a Doctor Doom or a Deadpool. It's such a complete misunderstanding of the source material. And it's crazy to think about this because you talk about this like with Watchmen too, right? With Zack Snyder. I like the director's cut of Watchmen. I think the Watchmen HBO is way better. I think they also get to just do the things from the source material. But like it would have been considered a huge risk for Zack Snyder to drop a squid on New York in that Watchmen movie. And that's kind of the same with Galactus. Like it would have been a huge risk to have this massive like space villain. And there's rumors that Galactus might be in the new Fantastic Four. So like I get why they didn't do it to an extent, but like that's crazy thing about that back then in 2007, doing Galactus like the right way would have been like a risky move. Where now you look back on it, it was just dumb. It was dumb not to do it. Yeah. It's a fucking cloud. Ken Jack, last pick of round four, then the first pick of our last round.
My fourth pick, I'll do the Paul Giamatti Rhino.
That was on my list. That was on my list too.
That's what I wrote down.
Yeah, the Paul Giamatti Rhino is one of the weirdest. And like, I can't claim to be the world's number one like Spider-Man lore fan or anything like that. But I know that he wasn't supposed to be anything like Paul Giamatti. He's just not a guy you can cast in like a villain role like that. Like, if you're gonna cast him as a villain, it's gotta be like big fat liar villain. You know what I mean?
Also, he is such a good actor. I mean, you talk about all his.
Yes.
I think about Silas. I gotta say, I when I put on my list today, I never really thought about this. I've never looked at Paul Giamatti the same since this movie.
Yeah,
like for some reason, like it hasn't ruined his career for me, but I just see the rhino, I see the tattoos, and it just throws me off. I just can't do it.
I see that. What is it, the Verizon commercials or whatever?
Yeah, right. Where he plays like Ben Franklin or something.
Yeah, or like, some shit. Like, yeah. And he played Henry VIII in a movie or something recently. Really weird. But he's a great actor. Obviously, he's got like all he can do drama. There's no problem with that. But like, he's just not an intimidating man. He's a fucking goofball. He's a goofy dude. You can't have him play Rhino, this big gangster fucking machine man thing. Like, it just doesn't work that way.
It's like a bad Sopranos imitation character. It's like a bad Sopranos character imitation, too. That's another thing. It's so corny.
His facial expressions were just bizarre.
Like, if it was just Pauly from Sopranos, it might have been better. Like, that's like it was like that's basically what it is.
Mm-hmm. And like, that's one again, like if I was a Spider-Man lore fan, I would be way more angry, I think, about that whole thing. But like, I was just like, this is just stupid at every level. Like, whose idea would this be that this is like possibly a workable villain in a superhero franchise? But yeah, I'll do Giamatti Rhino. I think that he was just a massive fuck up in every way. Which, by the way, I rewatched Saving Private Ryan. My girlfriend was watching it for the first time with me, and she's watching it, and she's like, doesn't know anybody other than like Tom Hanks while we're going through it. And then the scene hits where like Paul Giamatti comes up, and she's like, "Oh my god, Big Fat Liar!"
Like, yeah,
you're right. And I ID'd him immediately. Like, literally, Matt Damon was on screen for like 20 minutes before she was like, "He looks kind of familiar." No and way. I was like, "Yeah, it's Matt Damon." Like, oh shit, it's crazy. Okay, so after Giamatti Rhino, I'll do specifically late stage Mystique Jennifer Lawrence. So I'm talking Dark Phoenix, and what was the one right before that one? Because like this one was the one where they just missed to change the color of her face.
Apocalypse.
I'll add into that as well. So Apocalypse and Dark Phoenix, Mystique, by Jennifer Lawrence. Just it's a combination of the character, like Jennifer Lawrence not wanting to do it at all, like period, but having to contractually have to do it, and also probably wanting to make the money that they were offering. But also just the characters written really flatly, really quickly, very like, and it's just a bore. And like, you could say, yeah, she got way more lines than Rebecca Romijn got in the OG X-Men, but like, it's just like a waste of her talents, I guess, you know, it's just kind of, and
she was great in First Class, right? Like,
exactly. Yeah. First Class.
And they played to her good acting ability.
Yeah, and Days of Future Past too. Like they played that all super correctly. It's just like I think at that point it was a mutual distaste of each other. So you could blame both of them for sure, like both the makers of the movie and Jennifer Lawrence. But that whole character towards the end was just such a lame.
The best example,
the scene they
should start calling it the X women
since people are the work around here.
Yeah, it's like it's like. The men don't do it. Whatever she said, it's like it would have been a great line if she just cut it off and just walked out of the room. And it played great to Jennifer Lawrence's like pretty snarky delivery of lines and what Miss Mater like win Oscars. But then like then she has to just had to, they had to have her say like she call it X women. It's like
we fucking get it, dude. And like
so on the nose.
The and that thing, she dies right in Dark Phoenix. And I just remember her and it was just not particularly good
during the slow-mo scene. Yeah, she gets stabbed with like a bunch of wood, and then remember they continued to do less and less good-looking makeup for the characters. Like the character was worse and worse every movie. It was crazy.
Yeah, because she wanted less time in the chair, and I wouldn't blame her.
I'm gonna team up with Rudy a little bit here. He picked every Superman, but I'm gonna pick just Snyderverse. I'm gonna go Pa Kent with my last pick. Kevin Costner. That's another thing. Kevin Costner's fine in the role. Terribly written character. The fact that that Supes doesn't save him in the storm is like such. I just think it's such a misstep for that franchise and a big reason why. Like I've never liked Man of Steel. Never been for me. I think it's like it's perfectly average. Like it kind of in that space. Some people think it's great. I've never really cared for it.
The scene where he learns to fly. That's a great scene. The Hans Zimmer score hitting
in. It's like a top 10 comic book movie scene.
But it's so cool.
I just think the Pa Kent character is a huge reason why the Superman character in the Snyderverse and DCU is so mopey and such a complainer and so against really everything that I like would expect out of the Superman character to be translated into the movies. And Pa Kent, just a dopey ass Pa Kent. Encourage your son, whatever. Like, yeah, he's an alien. Fucking figure it out, though, Pa Kent.
Unbelievable.
Gooch, your last pick.
I'm going to go back to the MCU, back to the Avengers. Mark Ruffalo's Hulk. Do not care for it. And I think most MCU fans have kind of come to this side too, where it's like they just completely botched the entire Hulk storyline. Like, it was botched from the beginning, obviously, with
Norton.
Norton and having to switch over to Ruffalo, but Ruffalo's Bruce Banner. Like, Bruce Banner is supposed to be just as smart as like Tony Stark. Like, and the whole time, like, Tony Stark and Cap will go back on these these big debates, and then Mark Ruffalo would just be in the corner and just be like, "Hey guys, this is what I think." Like, it just never plays. He never brings across like the tortured aspect of like Bruce Banner's life having to live with like the Hulk. I don't care for it at all. And Hulk is cool. Hulk is like, before the MCU, it was Hulk, Spider-Man, Wolverine. Those were the three big Marvel guys. Like, that was the team. And Hulk has plummeted down that list.
I'll note that, like, I think the best movie he was in as the Hulk was Ragnarok.
Oh, yeah.
And that's because it wasn't really like the Hulk as it's supposed to be, if that makes sense.
It's really just Banner. It's a Banner movie.
Yeah, but it's just like, it's not really like the same character, I guess, how it's
when they fight, that's like the Hulk that everybody wants.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, just like the rage Hulk, like, not the, oh, don't even get me started on that fucking nerd Professor Hulk.
Yeah.
Oh, here's a taco. Neil, let's take a selfie.
I never, I'm an Endgame guy. I never hated it.
Yeah.
But I get, like, I get why, like, since that, like, I get it. Like, I do understand, like, the goofy Hulk. Some people don't really vibe with it. Like, it doesn't, like, blow my mind that people feel that way.
Yeah.
Rudy, last pick.
Can't believe you fell this far. But I'm going Hawkeye.
Wow. Okay. Oh,
I would have been with you until the Hawkeye series.
The Hawkeye special was good, man. Or series, yeah.
I just, it's just, he's just useless, dude.
I mean, just say it. Yeah.
He's just a guy, dude. He's the Make-A-Wish Avenger, like, sort of similar to Winter Soldier, but to a way worse degree. Like, bring in a fucking bow and arrow, a medieval weapon. He would be at a disadvantage going up against three Marines. One Marine.
With a gun.
With a gun. He would be at a disadvantage going up against a civilian. A prostitute with a Saturday Night Special. He is a medieval weapon. He's like a water gun. His hair. They did Renner dirty in Infinity War with that hair, dude. He looked like some sort of like bird. Like, he looked like a bird, and his name is Hawkeye. So maybe that's what they were going for, but I don't know why you had to take it so literally.
He had the Sanjaya.
Yeah. It's just it was rough. Hawkeye's just such an easy fucking target. All he does is run. Like, he puts in three shots and then scatters. He basically is like the Avengers version of like trench, like Viet Cong warfare. Like, he just hides in the shadows, puts in a couple shots, and then just sprints to the other side, puts in a couple more, doot, 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 and it like pings off Thanos's head, and he's like, "All right, yeah, I'm good."
He's the Tony Snell of the Avengers.
Yeah, right. He is the Tony Snell of the Avengers.
Just the best thing, up and down the court.
The best thing he did, I mean, give him credit, he put up like a 98-yard like wire to wire run when he picked up the Infinity Stones and darted out of there. Got to give him credit on that. Other than that, stat line is looking weak.
I will say, we talk about the MCUs a lot, like their humor not always hitting. I do think one of the better MCU humor like bits was Hawkeye in Age of Ultron. Like, one of the things that did work in Age of Ultron, I did think he was like humanizing, and they did a good job playing off like the idea that he is just a dude who can like shoot bows and arrows really well, like very well. I always did like that, but no, I get that. I think Hawkeye, that's a good pick in that round.
They did a great, whenever, I think it was Jeremy Renner hosted SNL, they did a great skit with him. Do you remember that? Where it's right. It's all the Avengers are sitting there and they're like, okay, I'm going to do this, you do this, you do that. Hawkeye, you go do this. And he's like, yeah, well, I can't. I'm out of arrows.
Yeah.
Like, that was it. And they're like, what do you mean you're out of arrows? Like, I used all my arrows up. I'm done. What? Like, I'm going to go home. Like, it was very funny.
You got to wonder what the thought process was there and like bringing him into live action, like with the rest of the team. Because when you see him in the Hawkeye series, he's an enjoyable character because he's doing street level stuff.
Yeah.
But like when he's like just with the Avengers fighting planetary threats, he just has nothing to do.
Oh, is that it? He only brought 11 arrows to the fight. That was it. He's like, sorry, I forgot to pack more.
Teams are here. The draft picks before we go to maybe a couple quick honorable mentions. Ken Jack has Snyder versus Joker, Green Hornet, young Jean Grey from X-Men,
Rhino from Amazing Spider-Man 2, young adult Mystique I put down from the X-Men franchise. I have Deadpool from X-Men Origins, Wolverine, Venom from every Venom, any movie with Venom, Dr. Doom from the 2015 Fantastic Four, Galactus from Silver Surfer, Pa Kent from the Snyderverse, Guchaz.
Pa Kent. Stop saying Pa Kent. Just
Pa name. Kent. That's what they call him.
That's his name.
Pa I Kent. Fucking hate just the phrase Pa Kent. Kent.
Mom Pa that, Kent.
Hey, if I'm gonna rip the fans that are gonna hate my pick here, I'm gonna call it the name they call him. They love calling Pa Kent.
Outfielder batting 350 in 1922.
Gooch has the Flash DCU, Vision MCU, Captain Marvel MCU, Lex Luthor, Batman v Superman, Hulk MCU, Rudy, Superman from every fucking Superman movie, Winter Soldier MCU, Ronan the Accuser MCU, Ant-Man MCU, Hawkeye MCU. Any quick honorable mentions? Two on my list that I didn't get picked, Catwoman, Halle Berry.
Yep.
But I felt that felt too cliche. But also, speaking of whiny, mopey characters, the Robin from the Joel Schumacher Batman movies.
Yeah.
Absolute, just annoying doofus. Just a fucking loser. Yeah, huge bitch. Any others?
I had the early Hemsworth Thor. Like, we're talking about mopey.
Yes.
First two movies.
I thought about doing that.
Massive mopester. Absolute. He went from literally, like, we talk about all the time, fucking Ragnarok, the character of Thor flipped from being the worst Avenger to by far the best Avenger overnight. Like, it was crazy. I also had, speaking of Thor, the Chris Eccleston, Malekith, elf.
Yes, we love talking about that guy.
He fucking hated that so much. He had nothing he hated more than that movie.
But then when Ragnarok came, I was like, you know, actually, maybe I would do it again. Like, yeah, he's like, yeah, now you would. Yeah.
I had the Mandarin in Iron Man 3. He obviously got redeemed in Shang-Chi, which is one of the coolest things he did in that movie. But at that point, that character, the Mandarin, the bait and switch was ridiculous.
And Oscar Isaac. I hate the real Mandarin in that movie, too. Fucking, what's his name?
Oh, fucking Guy Pearce's, like, flame man. Yeah. Oscar Isaac in Apocalypse was also just that.
Oh, sucked. Yeah.
Great actor. Just a shit role he got stuck with in all, like, 20 pounds of makeup. And probably you could do, like, Shaq as Steel, but like that's like two people have seen that movie.
Yeah, there was like if it was smaller, I kind of just stayed away from it.
Yeah. Reynolds Green Lantern, like I don't know.
I got a bunch that didn't make the cut, but they were just kind of smaller roles where I just like, yeah, can't put these up on the graphic. Sprite and Fastos from the Eternals. Sprite was that weird little girl.
I like Sprite.
No, she was weird.
Yeah,
that was
like a dirty, don't you?
And Fastos did Hiroshima, so
that's true.
I got Dracoff, the villain from Black Widow, along with Taskmaster, both just stinky. David Fulis, his Ares, or he was Ares, right?
Yeah.
And Wonder Woman, that
so
that
fucking stunk. Bad.
Scar from She-Hulk, Hulk's son.
I forgot about that. Holy shit!
He was in the show for 5 seconds.
Yeah,
that stupid haircut and tank top. Fuck that. Hulk King, also from She-Hulk, the online poster man. Wanda's kids, Woody Harrelson in Venom 2, Kamala's mom in Miss Marvel, just mean.
Woody Harrelson's really bad in Venom 2.
Maybe his worst role ever.
Flash Thompson in the MCU and Ralph Boner.
Mm-hmm. Rudy, you got to give me yours, but you also got to tell me, didn't you almost pick someone from Courage the Cowardly Dog?
Yeah, that was before I like really knew the vibe that we were doing like MCU, DCU. I was like, it was Fred from Courage the Cowardly Dog. He's the barber.
Scary as fuck.
As hell. Gave me horrific nightmares. Should never have been in a kid's show. True nightmare shit. And then the other one I had, I had Icarus from Eternals.
Flying into the sun, bro. Come on.
And then I had Wonder Woman, but it just sort of seemed like too like obvious. It's whatever.
Not with this movie brand. Ken Jack, nobody hates the Gal Gadot Wonder Woman more than Ken Jack does.
Did we even get a chance to talk about her fucking lying about Wonder Woman 3? I don't think we even talked about it, dude.
Yeah, she made it up.
No.
Apparently just made it up that she was
made it all up. She thought she could pressure people into fucking making Wonder Woman 3 happen, and she couldn't. Go make another Heart of Stone, dumbass shit movie.
Make sure again, like and subscribe the video on YouTube. Helps us out a lot. Go to @LightsCameraBarstool on Instagram and @LightsCameraPod on Twitter. You can vote whenever we put the graphic up for this draft. Vote for who you think had the best draft. That's it. Thanks, Rudy, for popping on. We'll talk to you next time.
Have a good week at the box office, folks.